Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
What do you mean, when? They're ready now. Serious jocking across the nation on Talk Radio. Howard Hughes here. And Ailey Hayes.
You come back in my life.
Oh, she does.
Playing the same old tune.
Well, I don't know. I think we'll have some new tunes tonight. Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes here on Talk Radio. Thank you very much. I posted about this on social media just a little while ago, and a lot of the Unexplained fans, other people, saying some very nice things. So, you know, we've got an awful lot to live up to and do here tonight. Our number is 0344 499 1000. You can also get us on the Twitter. But I have to say that I may not see all of those tweets if you do tweet. So it's better that you call. It's 0344 499 1000. If you're one of my international listeners, and, you know, the Unexplained has quite a few of them, then you can call us internationally. I think it's 44-344-499-1000, 44 country code. So let's crack on then. Hayley, how are you?
I'm good. To me. How are you?
I'm all right,
Social
I think.
Social distancing, I can't see you.
Well, I mean, we've got...
but we've got nice sound people. And that's all that matters.
Well, when I was up at the supermarket this morning, or rather midday today, which I found is roughly the best time to do it, people were doing more than the social distancing. They were doing about 9 feet, 3 metres between each other,
well,
in the queue
good.
To go into Tesco, which I thought was a good thing. We've got 16 miles.
Yes. I'm here with Amy, and I've got glass between me and Amy, so we're safe too. It's all good.
All right, everything all right with you then?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm quite chilled, actually. I'm quite enjoying it.
Just want to apologise to our listener here, because, you know, normally we'd have this conversation just before we went into the studio. But tonight, since I haven't seen you for a month, then, you know, we're having to catch up, really. Should we kick it off then?
Yes.
0344-499-1000. Let's just wind that bit back. 0344-499-1000. Here comes Susan in Exeter. Hello, Susan.
Good evening, Howard. Good evening, Hayley.
Good evening.
What's going on with you?
How lovely to hear you both. I was feeling a bit down today. Oh. Before I get cheerful with you, can I just share something with you?
Of course you can.
Well, you know, I was just thinking that this coronavirus is just so awful. It's affecting people's lives so badly. You know, all the people that have died and have been very ill and they're on ventilators, you know, and God knows what. And it's just, you just think, God, this is awful. But, you know, also, we're all worried about our money, you know, and the bills are going to keep flooding through the doors, whether we've got enough to pay for them or not. And it's a really dreadful situation. But I'm just trying to send some positivity out to everybody, because I'm worried about everybody as well as myself. You know, Howard, we're all worried, aren't we?
Well, look, something, Susan? I think something has changed. And, you know, you've always been somebody I know. You know, you've called before and we've talked a lot.
I
know you. You think about other people, right? And I think about other people. But a lot of people, they're so busy making a living, it's not their fault, that they think about their own little bubble. And I think that's what's changed in this last few weeks when we've had this situation that none of us has ever had to face before. That people are now starting to think about each other for once.
I would like to think that, but I'm scared, because I think when we get back to normal, which we will, because nothing lasts forever, I'm wondering if we'll all go our separate ways again. You know, I'm wondering if it will actually last, because after 9/11 in America, people in New York, before that, they've been very, very cold to each other and very removed from each other. But then they said after 9/11, everybody was taking care of each other and showing an interest in each other. But then, you see, I think everybody just gets back to normal, you know. But the thing is, Howard, I want to try and... I'm hoping that we will change for the better. We will look out for each other more. But, you know, it's lovely to hear you both tonight. And that music
you
kicked off with, it was like a little disco starting. And I think we could all do with a disco and a bit of a dance.
How do you know? How do you... Hang on, Susan. How do you know that I haven't got a little light ball in my humble, tiny little flat here spinning round right now?
You could have.
I could have.
I bet you do. Like, I just, me and Amy were just looking at each other going, I bet he does.
Those disco balls were so lovely, didn't they? We used to have those, didn't we, years ago? But, you know, and I hope you do a little dance with Hayley. And the people who can get you on video, we could see that. I can't get you.
Well, we're not together, you know, Susan.
Excuse me?
We're not together.
Susan, video? I've got enough trouble doing the audio at the moment.
You can just about use WhatsApp. Do you know what? Susan, do you know what WhatsApp is? Do you use WhatsApp?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, Howard wins a point on that then, because I got Howard onto WhatsApp. just so we could communicate on this show.
No, excuse me, Hayley Hayes. You started already, even though you're 16 miles away.
I had reasons,
good ones, for not using WhatsApp, because I used to think, well, it's only there really to data mine you and, you know, take all your data. But I realised that you can't live without this thing now.
You can't.
Howard,
what are you saying, Susan?
Sorry, Susan.
Can I just share? No, don't worry.
Of course you can. Share.
I'm just wanting to cram as much as possible in as I can with you, because I know you're busy and you'll have lots of calls because you're both lovely. But Hayley's
lovely. Sorry.
Thank you, Susan.
No, you're both lovely. I've got some ideas on instant cheering up things we can do in our little flats or houses. A bunch of flowers. They're not expensive from the supermarkets. And some candles. Candles are lovely in the evening. They just give you a lovely feeling, you know, they create a lovely atmosphere. Do you agree?
Hey, Susan, I was looking for them because I like those, you know, those scented candles. I only buy the cheap ones, but you know, the linen and cotton ones. I love those. Good. I couldn't find any today.
Oh, sweetie.
But anyway, I'll look. I'll keep looking.
You can pick them up. I've got 10 tapered candles. They don't have an aroma, but they were only £2. And they last 6 hours burning time. And they're absolutely lovely. And they're from one of the popular chain stores, you know, retail outlets. But I think I know this doesn't sound very nice, but I'm very angry that the whole world is in such a mess over a virus which comes from a country where they treat their animals so badly. And I'm very angry about this, Howard, and I really have to get rid of this anger.
Well, look, I think I understand what you're saying, and a lot of people are going to be agreeing with that, but there's an awful lot of stuff that we're going to have to give thought to when this is all done, I think. But listen, you look after yourself. I'm glad that you're finding a way through this. I think we're all finding our own ways of doing things, Susan. So you take care. Keep listening.
I will.
And come back to us when I'm next on, okay?
And God bless to you both.
And you too.
And you.
Okay. Let's get to Angela now. I've forgotten where Angela normally calls
Leicester.
From. And I haven't got my... Leicester. Angela, welcome to Talk Radio.
How are you, Howard and Hayley and Amy? How are you guys tonight?
We're good.
We're all good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Do you want to hear something funny?
Oh, yeah.
I could do with it, yeah.
Could do with it right now.
My doctor and me didn't the other day, because I asked for a call back for about my ear and that, and he subscribed to my YouTube channel. So I said, why did you do that? And he said, I'm just checking on your mental health. And I said, what do you think? He said, you do fine on your own, don't you? and then he said to me, because we all football, because we all sweet like football. So he said, the virus won't come to me. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, you're a City supporter. So he said, can I talk to your partner? And he said, you won't get the virus either. And he says, why not? He said, you're a United supporter. And then my partner said, the virus won't go to you. And then my doctor said, why not? He said, you're an Arsenal supporter.
I thought
it was funny.
Well, no, I mean, look, I'm very... Hayley probably got that.
I'm looking at Amy hoping for the best, Amy. I'm lost. Sorry, Angela.
Angela, we're all lost. What else is going on with you, though, Angela? You're in full lockdown, but how are you occupying your time?
Well, I've been in lockdown since Christmas because of my health anyway. But I occupy myself with reading, crocheting and doing all arts and crafts. And we're linking up with my friends tomorrow on Zoom. You know that Zoom app? And you can link a video.
Loads of people. I have never used it. I've only used it for one thing that somebody else asked me to do. But you know, people are telling me that's a very good way of sort of having virtual meetings with people.
Yeah. So I said to my friends, well, you're not getting away with not communicating, because I've had to WhatsApp a lot of my friends, because I can't. They normally WhatsApp me. One was in hospital for another reason. I was worried about my friend Tony, because he didn't answer me, but he wasn't sure if it was that. And I was just panicking, so I was like...
Well, you see, no need to panic. You know, everybody's virtually connected now, so you know, you can just... You might have to wait for a reply from people. Sometimes, you know, they're doing other stuff. You know, me, I've been doing all my technical stuff today. I've been wiring the place up. Now, listen, Angela, you take care. We'll talk again soon, okay?
And you, mate. See you soon.
All right, night-night. Angela, who's been in lockdown since December. I should have asked her, really, for some tips on how you... I mean, I've been doing it for, 2 weeks now? You have too. You know, I'm still trying to find ways to get through this. I'm sure that by the time we get to 3 weeks, I'm going to be thinking, what else can I do? I don't know. Let's get to Mark in London. Mark, how are you doing?
Hello, good evening, Howard. Very well, thank you for asking. You good?
I'm good. You've got no reason not to be, really, no.
Yes. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about sort of your usual sort of topic, you know, the unexplained variety, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes.
Take our minds off current events.
Okay, have you got an experience then?
No,
it's got to be a good
experience.
I
just want to talk to you about your show, because I've been a sort of big fan right from your sort of talk radio, you know, your talk sport days.
Hang on, you said you've been. Does that mean you're not now?
I still am. Don't worry. Oh,
good man.
Sunday night.
I worry about these things.
Sunday night, 10 o'clock, everyone is out of the house. I have to... I'm an avid listener. I just wanted to talk to you about two or three things that you've had on over the years, which are sort of kind of blowing my mind. But the first thing, Al Bielik. What a story that was.
And we've got to say that Al Bielik was behind the Philadelphia experiment, and that is supposedly... America's attempt at time travel. And Al Bielik was somebody who was part of the crew of a ship that was supposedly catapulted through time. So he went forward in time to two different places. I think one of them was 1983, and the other one was a couple of hundred years from now.
In the future. That was such a... when you had that originally on TalkSport, I actually recorded onto a cassette, and I was like painting one Sunday afternoon listening to that thing, and just my mind was just being so blown by that story. But then you put it on your podcast website as well, so anyone can listen to it at any time. It's incredible.
Well, no, I mean, it is one of the most amazing stories, and there were people who still, I mean, they diss Al Bielik, who sadly died, I think, about 10 years ago now, but they say, none of this ever happened, that he wasn't part of the crew of the ship and all that. But there was a lot in it to make me think that may well have happened. Of course, I'm never really going to know, but there are people who say that...
And, I actually emailed you about this recently. It was, you had a chap, when you had like a phone-in one of the Sundays, you had a chap phone-in, who's an engineer who told a really great sort of UFO story about like experiencing it and the green mist and lost time. And he said he was going to phone up with a second part of the story. Did he ever phone back?
Can you remember
the story?
I think it
was an aeronautical engineer.
When was this?
It was about 6 months ago. I think when you had like when you turned your sort of unexplained into like you had a phone-in section, this guy sort of told this really great UFO story. I think he might be in like Birmingham somewhere.
He was in Stafford. Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm still in contact with him, and I've still got to get the second part of the story. So if he's listening,
haven't missed it. Great.
No, you haven't missed it. But I'm very keen to get the second part of the story because it was pretty amazing. And I think he actually made a model. He made a model of what he saw. That's the guy, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Fantastic.
I think he was a bit of an engineer
on the slide. It's such a convincing story. It's great. And the final third thing, before I'll let you carry on, is that one of your podcasts, the story about the chap who worked at Area 53 and the chalky white aliens and had playful children. Do you remember that one? Charles Hall, maybe?
Well, there was Charles Holt. He's one of the Rendlesham Forest people.
Wasn't him. It was a guy who was a meteorologist working at Area 53. It was your 50th anniversary edition of your podcast.
Yeah, Stephen. Oh, gee, I'm going to have to go to the website and look at it. This is like 14 years ago when we did the first. It's Stephen. So the guy I know, the guy you mean. He was a guy who'd been a television weather forecaster, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't ever. He was just a every sort of everyday meteorologist, and he was working sort of next door to Area 51, and he sort of encountered the aliens that were using it as their base. And the story he told on the podcast episode 50 was just so incredible.
Hey, Mark, your dedication's amazing. You even heard the stuff that I did on TalkSport, and that's years ago.
Oh, yeah,
I started doing that in 2004.
I was absolutely gutted when you stopped on TalkSport, actually. And then,
so was I. But no, we carry. I mean, the nice thing about it was that people like you got in touch, and I've still got those emails from 2006 saying, you know, don't let your show die. Put it on a podcast. And I thought, how do you do that?
Oh yes, it's you know, I'm always when I work on a Monday morning, I'm always telling people about your radio show, and everyone just like disses me like I'm a lunatic. But I come in on a Monday morning with such an incredible smile on my face sometimes with some of the stories I hear on a Sunday night on your show.
But anyway, I tell you, you proved one thing. You proved that you know my back catalogue better than I do. So I'm going to have a look at it when I finish this, and I'm having my nice big glass of whiskey, which you know, I don't drink whiskey normally, only at Christmas, but I've got a bottle in, and I'm going to have a nice big whiskey. I'm going to go through my own back catalogue and acquaint myself with what was in the first 100 shows, because I've done 440
now. Mark,
nice to hear from you, Mark.
Likewise, nice talking to you, Howard, and keep up the good work and take care of yourself.
I'll do my best. Thank you, Mark. Mark in London there on Talk Radio. It's a really weird feeling, though, to be like a disembodied voice in the night. I said this at the weekend when I was doing the weekend show, the Sunday show, that, you know, if you didn't keep a grip on yourself, working like this, you sort of lose your grip on reality. And you sometimes start thinking, am I really doing this? Is any of this really happening? Because I'm sitting alone here in the darkness with just a little orange bulb in the corner giving a bit of a rosy glow, and meaning that I can't see the dust in my flat. You know, there's a double benefit from that. But it's strange, isn't it? And I think it's the greatest leveler of all between you listening and me doing this, because I'm in my little place and you're in your place. And we are connected. I'm not sitting there in some big flashy radio station. I think it's just great. Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, Talk Radio. Our number here, 0344 499 1000, if you want to shoot the breeze.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
No, sorry, the jogging didn't work there. I want to do that properly. Sorry. That's better. Because I want to hear all of this. I'm sure you will too. In the nighttime, Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, Talk Radio, that's what we are. Yeah, but as I was saying on Sunday night, I keep quoting Sunday night, sorry about that. We're all leading a lonely life now. It's quite bizarre. I'm looking around here. And all I've got is my little model of an ET in front of me and Deanna Troi. I've got a little model of Deanna Troi. If you've been on my Facebook page, you'll have seen this. Little model of Deanna Troi sitting on the console. And then I've got my £9 radio code clock, they call it, that gives me perfectly accurate time. Because if you're doing the radio, you have to have perfectly accurate time. Otherwise, you're getting yourself into all sorts of trouble. So Hayley.
Yes.
Oh, it's Ken. It's Ken.
Yes.
Sorry, I was going to ask you who's on there. It's like
you're
the Eurovision Song Contest.
You're not reading me WhatsApps, are you?
I am reading the WhatsApp. I've got it on my I've got it on my mobile data. The no flies on me, excuse me. I'm just learning how to use all of this
stuff. Dragging you into the 21st century. I love this.
Honestly, if people could see how I'm doing it, I'm playing the music off a little handheld recorder, which I've got to remember to engage into my mixer. My technical listeners will know about this, which I didn't do last time, but that won't happen again. It won't happen again. And I've got, I'm holding in my hand my phone on which I've got WhatsApp. Let's get to Ken, then calling from London. Hello, Ken. Welcome to Talk Radio again.
Good evening, Howard and Hayley.
Hiya, Ken. How are you?
Fine, Hayley. Fine, thanks very much.
It's been a while.
It's been a month.
It's been
Ken.
A whole month.
Yeah, well, listen, I want to thank you for allowing me free speech here, because I've been banned off the James Whale show and Ian Lee show.
Oh, really?
James Whale's banned, but they don't allow me to speak about the coronavirus situation. They don't want to hear a Christian viewpoint. It's very sad.
Well, we might not either. I don't know. It depends where you go.
I've just got to say, before you do speak, and, you know, we're happy to put you on, Ken, that we tend to be listening to the government and the scientists at the moment.
unbelievable.
But that's not going to stop you. Which direction were you going to take us then? What were you going to say?
Well, I'm going to take you to the fact that this coronavirus is a plague, and it will blow over maybe a year, 9 months. We don't know for sure, but it's not the apocalypse. I hear lots of commentators saying this is the apocalypse. This is not the apocalypse, but this is a warning.
Yeah, but if your family has been touched by this, or if you're an emergency service worker and you're going into work every day or every night, you know, worried about the consequences of being in contact with a lot of people doing your very, very best to help them, and our emergency service workers are doing fantastic work now. You know, I don't think you're going to be thinking about any of that.
No, but I'm talking about commentators. I've read in the papers, I've heard them saying, this is like the apocalypse. The apocalypse is actually the revealing of Jesus Christ at his second coming. So to equate this with the apocalypse is not wise, it's foolish. Now, what could happen here, Howard and Haley, in my opinion?
Yeah, well, okay. I actually, Hales, I know that you, because you've got control tonight, and I don't have my fingers on the buttons. I just wanted to ask Ken, if that is the case, and if we're getting so close to some kind of revelation, where is it at the moment?
Let's try for a one-word answer, or a one-sentence answer, shall we?
Ken, this is an important point.
Ken, go.
If we're getting ready for revelation, where is it?
This is part of the revelation. If you will read tonight, everybody who's listening, read Matthew chapter 24 and read the prophecies and the revelation given by Jesus Christ himself. Matthew 24. Jesus gives us signs. Nobody knows the day or the hour of the apocalypse, but he has given us clear signs to look for. They are all happening now at the same time today.
Ken, what are you going to do if there is an apocalypse then? What's your plan?
I am secure in Jesus. I am not the least. I am looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. This is what I live for, to see him face to face.
Well, I'm sure he'll be calling on you first. Ken, I think that's, you've had a fair shake there. Now, he's been banned from just about every radio show in Christendom. So I think we've done pretty well, Hales, don't you?
I think you did very well.
So.
You had more patience than me.
Look, you know, we have to say that I'm not dissing organized religion. Of course I'm not. But I just don't think that is a contribution that we need to be considering too much at the moment, because we have to be following the advice of the government and listening to the scientists and watching the changing situation and making sure we wash our hands and standing in the queue 6 feet away from the person in front at the supermarket and trying to sort ourselves out because maybe we're not going to be paid for a while. I think maybe those things, you know, stop me if I'm wrong, those things are probably more important for most of us right now. And that goes for me as well as you, because I'm in exactly the same boat that you are, you know, and I'm sitting here in my flat thinking about it. And I think you have to get to a point, don't you think so, Hayley?
Yeah.
That you have to get to a point where you think about everything, but you don't think about it too much, because thinking about it too much is not going to help you. You've got to be mindful of where you're at and what's going on around you, and then you've got to let it go, I think.
Or talk to somebody else about it, because I think the problem is if you're having a one-way conversation with your own brain, that can leave you down quite a dangerous spirally path. And I think as long as you can talk about it to somebody that you trust and you know, then I think you normally end up in a better place.
That's true. And, you know, that even includes us. If you're kind of listening to this tonight and you're on your own, like, you know, I am, and when the light goes out tonight, when I turn everything off, I'm going to be just as quiet as you are. But some people get more unnerved by it all than others. You know, I've always been pretty self-sufficient, mostly. And I try, if I've got problems, you know, like I've sorted out technical problems here, I've just taught myself how to do it. I've gone into bunker mentality, but not everybody's like that. And that's okay. So if that's how you're feeling tonight, then call 0344-499-1000. We don't have, you know, I don't have a PhD in psychology or anything. But I'm a very good listener. Don't you think so, Hayley? You think I'm a good listener?
I think so too, but you're a good talker too, which is handy.
Well, no, I don't know about that. My first boss, a wonderful man called Terry Smith, who ran a radio station in Liverpool, was the founder of it. And I went into his office. I was 21 years of age, and I was employed to do news, to read this. You've got a voice to read the news. I thought, all right, I want to play records, though. I like playing records. So I sort of went into his office, and he was the managing director, and kind of wanted to... God, help me engage with him on that level, Latila. I really want to play records on the radio, and you know, don't really want to read the news. Not realizing, of course, that was a fantastic opportunity. But I was 21 and very, very stupid back then, if anybody remembers me, and I hope they don't. And he just looked at me across the big desk. And, you know, Terry is a friend these days. I've seen him at, you know, all sorts of things over the years, but I'm much older now. And he just looked at me across the desk, and quite rightly he said, "Do you know something? You've got verbal diarrhea." You're gobsmacked, Hayley Hayes.
I am. Permanently.
That's all right, no. So, beyond that, though, Hayley.
Yes.
I think it's very important to consider these things.
Yep. Very.
Our number here, 0344-499-1000. If you're outside the United Kingdom, don't think, "Oh, I've got to call that number and it's an international call, it's going to cost me." Just call it, or you can... is there another way to do that? You can tweet us and alert us to the fact that you're there, and then we can take it from there. I think maybe that's a way of doing it. But I'll work out something better when I've had time for a think. But in the meantime, let's get to David. Hello, David.
Good evening, Howard. Good evening, anyway.
Hello.
What we're going to say, Howard. Have you seen these new Comcast things you can get for your TV and that?
Say that.
Sorry, I missed that. Sorry, you dropped out.
Have you seen them Comcast thing you can get?
Oh, Chromecast.
Chromecast, yeah. Yes, I've been hearing people talk about that.
They're brilliant, mate. Honestly, I've got one. And what it is on your phone, if you've got an Android phone, they've got you can grab, you know, old movies. They had, what they call it, on the Al Jolson 2, you know, the second one he did.
There was the jazz singer, and what was the other one? Return of the Jazz Singer or something. Is that the one?
Something like that. Return of... something like that. And what it is, there's loads of different films what you can choose on your phone, and you put them onto your telly with that Chromecast thing.
And is it like by Bluetooth?
No, it's with Wi-Fi. You know Wi-Fi on your phone?
You set
Wi-Fi on your phone to that Chromecast thing. And the way it does, it casts a picture from your phone onto telly. Whatever's on your phone appears on your TV. Right.
That's great. I didn't even know that. I've heard of Chromecast, and I've heard people talking about it. I didn't know you could do that.
They're not expensive. They're only £30 to buy as well.
You can hear me laughing 16 miles
Hayley's
away.
Scoffing at me again. You know, but I'm learning. I've got a very fast learning curve here, and I think I'm doing very well.
You are.
I didn't know. What's the picture quality like then, dude?
Brilliant. Just like watching your TV. Brilliant, honestly. You want to invest in one. I'll tell you what, worth every penny.
And does it let you do a playlist?
Well, you can. What it is, whatever's on your phone, you can mirror off your phone straight onto TV. You know what I mean? To what it is, it could be Spotify or anything, you know, any music or anything like that. You put it straight onto your TV.
Oh, right. And have you got to have a specialty? Because, look, I have to tell you. And Hayley knows that I live a bargain basement life. You know, most stuff that I've got is for me off eBay, and very good it is too. But my television set's a very cheap one. Would my cheap, basic Samsung telly do it?
Is it a smart TV?
Provided it's got an HDMI socket on it, you're okay. Don't touch
it.
It
has
a smart TV.
Okay, well, it's got HDMI, so I would be able to do that. I think
I've got an old plasma TV, and it works on that. You know what I mean?
Can you hear this? I'm writing this down. Chromecast. You see, I've got a list of stuff that I've got to do.
He's writing it down in ink.
Oh, this is going down.
With his feather pen.
Do you remember ink and writing? Remember when we used to do that?
I remember.
Sorry, David, you were saying. Sorry, I just jumped in rudely.
The app, what you want to look under on your phone, is called Old Movies. But when you go on Android phone, it's on Play Store. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Has it got any of those old British war movies with Anthony Quayle in them?
No, it's got loads of old films, really old films. Films that you'd never heard of before. You know what I mean? I was right surprised, like. No, they're like 1940s, 1950s.
I saw a great one. You've probably seen this one. I have a feeling you might well have. On the telly a couple of weeks ago. I've never seen it before. It's called... this is all going over Hayley's head, by the way. If it didn't happen 5 years ago, Hayley's got no idea. but it was called I Was Monty's Double. And now the great wartime general the great wartime general, General, what's his name? I'm trying to think of his first name, but Montgomery. Was a little man who was, you know, very determined. And he was Winston Churchill's military man. And basically, you know, Monty was a tough man and won the war. But during the war, there was a time when they wanted to confuse the Germans. They wanted to confuse the Germans, so they hired an actor who looked like him and could do his voice. And he was Monty's double. And this movie was all about it. I thought, this is amazing. It was all black and white, but it was very good.
Yeah, I've seen that one. That's what I say. If you like black and white films, it's worth going on that app, because that's what they have, a lot of black and white old films, what you've never seen before.
Any new, Hayley's saying, have they got any new films? I'm 16 miles away from Hayley now, and I can read her like a book.
Yeah, I know.
Hayley is saying, have they got any new films?
Anything in the last, 10 years?
No, it's really old films. Films that you've never heard of before, but what they've never seen on telly for a while, right? You know what I mean? But if you like... it depends whether you like old movies or not. If you like old movies, rate old ones. You know what I mean?
Black
and white and that.
No, I do. I like to mix it up. I like to mix it up. You know, I like modern movies. I like them if they're well acted. I like a bit of Tom Hanks, and I like The Martian, and I like Gravity, because I think Sandra Bullock is great. But I also like the old movies.
Yeah, well,
I like the old movies as well.
It's ideal. Like I said, you just download app on your from Play Store, and it's called Old Movies, the app, and then there's a list of all different films what you can watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, have they got the old Beatles movies like Help and Hard Day's Night? Because I love those with Ringo Starr saying there's a certain amount of hurry up involved here.
You'll have to have a look, see what they've got. They're all different.
I will.
Films.
Thank you, David. I mean, listen, seriously, I'm going to give it a go and I'll report back. So if you're listening, you'll hear me talking about it, because I've got bags of time on my hands now. Thank you, David.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye,
night. Dorothy, nice to hear from you. I'm seeing some of the tweets on the Twitter. And IROMG says something about the
Mike
one
Graham.
To four. Like that. Oh, that's Mike Graham.
Yes.
Okay. I can see one at the top from Dorothy.
Yeah,
and that's all
you
I can
need.
See. Was this?
Yeah, that's all you need.
Okay, because we're mostly doing phone calls tonight because Hayley insists. You know, if it was down to me, but it isn't. I've got executive decisions to bear in mind here. So we're taking Max Emo calls. 0344-499-1000. I think we can get to Paula now in Cheltenham. Hello, Paula.
Hello, Howard. How are you this evening?
I'm very good. You know, I'm learning about this this idea of practicing my craft, if I was ever any good at it, sitting on my dad's old leather chair.
Huh?
You know, it's weird. It's very strange. What's going on with you? It is. Do you want me to tell you the story of my dad's chair? I'll tell you very quickly if you want to hear it, and you're going to hear it anyway. My dad bought a chair in Southport years ago from a place called Bentall's, Boothroyd's, I think it was called, which was kind of a posh, and may still be, a kind of posh store selling furniture and stuff from Scandinavia and stuff like that. And he bought this nice leather chair, and he used to sit there watching Liverpool football matches on it, on the telly. And this was like, I'm talking three decades ago, 25 years, whatever. And you know, after we cleared the house and stuff, after I lost Dad, the chair was pretty dog-eared. And I thought, no, I'm going to take that home. And you know something? I've done every single podcast and anything else that I've recorded or done sitting in that chair. So I'm at the moment sitting in a low-level leather chair that I've put patches on because it was going... leather chairs don't go threadbare, but whatever leather does, it was doing that. And it's my lucky chair. It even fell apart at one point, and I bought some bolts from B&Q or somewhere, or Wix or whatever it was, and I bolted it back together again. So that, I'm sorry, that's just my story. Paula, what's going on with you, more importantly than me?
So everything's fine here. The reason I phoned in was you had Ken on earlier, and my faith is very important to me as well. And we have a mass, Roman Catholics, we have a mass broadcast on the internet every morning from Clifton Cathedral because it's we can't go to church anymore, so everything is shut down. And the Canon Bosco, who's a wonderful preacher, and during his homily, he came out with something very interesting. Mm-hmm. He said that for many people who are of a different gender or a different sexuality, these services that we're offering make the church more open now that they're closed than they ever were when they were open. And I thought that's a wonderful thing to be able to say. I know that our diocese are very keen on opening up the services to all people of all persuasions.
Well, I think they may find, I mean, just kind of broadening, it's something like Newsnight now, broadening it out, I think you'll find that an awful lot of people who perhaps they lapsed or whatever. I mean, you know, my grandfather, yeah. Les, was a lapsed Catholic. And in Liverpool, yeah. The local priest was always knocking on the door, and my grandmother would come to the door, and she was pretty formidable, and she'd say, "What are you doing here?" And he'd say, I think he was an Irish guy. I knew all of the guys there, but he said, "We've just come to see if Leslie's going to return to us." And I think you'll find that a lot of people will be finding comfort in whatever ways, whether that's, you know, watching a virtual mass like that, or a service, or whatever, or people who are just teaching. I mean, I've watched a few things where people have been doing, not like yoga, but things where they talk about how to calm down and how to be in the moment.
You know, mindfulness.
I've never been a good one, Paula, for being in the moment. I've always been thinking, what's going to happen next, and what's going to happen next, and what's going to happen next. This crisis that we're going through, I think, is teaching us all. I think it's teaching us all to, you know, to just live for now.
Yeah, I think that's very important, because if you're worried about the depression and anxiety are two sides of the same coin. Depression is worrying about what's happened in the past, sometimes for very good reason, and anxiety is worrying about what's going to happen, or your fear of what's going to happen. And there's nothing you can do about either of them. So you might as well just crack on and enjoy life. Live in the now.
Well, maybe we're all learning stuff. And I've thought, and you know, it's not about me tonight, but I've had lots of quiet hours here, as we all have. And it kind of makes you think about, how am I living my life? You know, what am I going to do when this is all over? And it's when you've got total quiet and there are no planes going over and there are no buses rumbling past and there are no trains going every 15 minutes or whatever they do. It's amazing for opening up your mind.
Indeed, yes, yeah.
All right, maybe then, Paula.
Maybe we'll all come out of it being better people. Let's hope so.
Well, I hope so. I've certainly seen a small amount of evidence of that when I've been going out doing my shopping and stuff today. A lot of people smiling, a lot of people caring about each other. Which, you know, I didn't, in the panic buying phase of all of this, which was, a couple of weeks ago, when I was watching people pile their trolleys 10 feet high and thinking, what's that all about? A lot of people were just ignoring everybody else because they just thought, the food's going to run out, got to fill my trolley with tins and packets of cereal.
Yeah.
And I think we've gone beyond that now. I think so.
We have,
I hope so. But, you know, what do I know?
Howard, yeah.
All right. Paul, nice to talk to you.
Thank you for talking to me, Howard. Good night. Have a good evening.
All right,
evening.
Take care. Our number here is 0344-499-1000. Howard Hughes here, 16 miles away from Hayley Hayes. And I'm starting to think that maybe that's the best
distance. Is that the way to do it?
Starting to think, you know, maybe if... maybe that's also the formula for a successful marriage.
It could be, see?
Who knows? 16 miles apart. I have no idea.
We should see if the divorce rates drop in the current
That's
climate,
a very good
we?
Point.
I mean, I know everyone's joking and saying, you know, the husbands are getting fed up of their wives and vice versa. But actually, maybe this kind of social distancing will actually help, because maybe people are starting to, you know, sleep in separate bedrooms, or one's upstairs, one's downstairs. This might actually be the key to a happy marriage. Mm. What do you think?
I think, you know, not that I'm that qualified to talk about such things, but you're just looking at it as a philosophical question. I don't know. I think one of the greatest things that pulls people apart is snoring. You're going to laugh about that. But, you know, a lot of people snore. I probably do. But, you know, the problem is that if you've got to be getting up early for work and then you're living with somebody who's all the time, that's a pretty good impression. Or, you know, sounding like
awful.
A buzzsaw all night.
That came too easy. You definitely snore.
And I think the answer to snoring is probably separate bedrooms. And that's not a deal breaker, I don't think.
No.
You know, you can always come together for those moments when you need to, Hayley. If you know how to say.
Make an appointment.
You know, to do the crossword and all those sorts of things. Our number here is, 0344-499-1000. Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
one bond unites us all. To wage war until victory is won.
I've been saying for weeks on Sunday nights now that I think they should re-release this song and we can all download it because I think this one works at the moment. What do you say? I know Hayley's probably never heard this before.
I don't know. Let me hear the vocal and maybe I'll get it.
Here's a bit of Winston.
Never to surrender ourselves to servitude and shame, whatever the cost and the agony may be.
As I may have mentioned before, I spent years in music radio, mostly doing news on it. But it makes you get up to speed with your music. And I know Hayley's probably never heard this before.
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Stand by. Listen.
But they're fighting now. This country is dead.
And with everything that we're facing now, you know, I kind of think we need an anthem. We need a tune to be the theme for it all, you know, to inspire it. I'm not saying necessarily that's it. But I was going through my music at home a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, that kind of fits. That is Timmy Thomas, and he had this hit in the 70s called Why Can't We Live Together, with that great organ bit in it. A fantastic tune. And they remixed it, I think, sometime in the 90s, and they mixed in Winston Churchill. Never, in the field of human conflict, have so much been done by so many, for so many. I don't know, whatever that was. Hayley. So you've never heard of that song, have you?
I haven't, but I'm fascinated by it. What's it called again?
It's Timmy Thomas, Why Can't We Live Together?
Oh, I'm going to listen to that later.
And I think if any tune is worth hearing now in this period, that's probably it. Because I think we need a rallying call, you know? Nothing sort of jingoistic, nothing that anybody would take offence to. Just something we can all get behind, you know? You're quiet as a mouse.
I'm sorry, I was typing to you, telling you who's on. It's difficult, this multitasking business.
Wait, excuse me, you want to try being here?
I've probably got it easy. I've got Amy. You don't have a tech op. You're trying to do your own tech op in too.
Well, no, I'm doing my own music playing. But no, I'm sitting in my father's knackered old leather chair. I've got a phone in my left hand, looking at the WhatsApp, so you can tell me what's coming up. Yeah. And I've got the music thing here, little MP3 player in my right hand, connected by a bit of wire into a mixer. And then I've got my little laptop, and I've got my little microphone. It's all good.
It's all good.
None of this impresses you, does it?
No, it does. It's fascinating. I need to see pictures. Yeah. That's what I need.
Well, I put pictures on the Unexplained with Howard Hughes Facebook page.
Ah.
There's even pictures. We haven't even talked about my beard yet.
Oh. Later.
Well, no, yeah, but we'll do it after 11 o'clock because I need tips from my listener. I've never had, from the day when I first shaved, and it was when my father was driving me through the woods in Crosby, and he said, you need to get a razor blade, you know, lad. you need to shave, I think.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I've never had a beard, and I've tried all these decades. Can you hear that?
Yes. Gosh.
That's my beard. But sounds I don't rough. Some people. So anyway, we'll talk about it in the next hour. Some people suit beards and you know, some people don't. And I have a strong feeling that maybe I'm one of the ones who don't. 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio. Let's get to Dean in Oxford. Hello, Dean.
Sorry, I dropped the phone.
Right, Dean? I mean, it's okay. I do that too.
How are you? I hope you're all keeping safe.
Yeah, how about you keeping safe?
Yeah, I'm now, this is my sixth week in isolation.
Boy, was there a reason why you had to go into isolation, Dean?
Yeah, I've got a very rare condition, and I've been told that if I get it, then I'm not going to survive. So,
Dean. Well, you've got to follow all the instructions.
To go now, to go into isolation.
Now, listen, very important this. Are you in touch with people every day?
I don't have contact with anybody at all, basically.
Okay. Well, are you getting... Listen, this is important. Are you getting food delivered and all that sort of stuff?
Well, I am now, yeah. I was a bit... it was a bit scary when the panic was on, but it seems to have levelled off now. I mean, one day I did ring talk radio in the afternoon to Kevin O'Sullivan, and I said, help! I've got no food.
Oh, God, Dean. And what happened then? I bet people rallied round you.
Apparently, everything that he recalls and of help, you know. And this lovely lady who lives 30 miles away...
Wow.
...brought me a load of groceries and left them on the doorstep. I don't know who she was. I asked Kevin to see if they could find out, but nobody's ever contacted me, but... I wonder,
she might be like a regular talk radio listener. If you are listening now, you are a saint and you should be taking credit for what you did 30 miles.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible. Well, Dean.
I tried to contact her and everything, you know, but apparently she comes from 30 miles away. That's all I was told, and she doesn't want anything, you know, which I thought she was a complete angel.
Definitely.
My last two slices of bread. That's how was, you know.
Dean, I'm so sorry. But listen, talk to me about how you are now, then. Are you all right for everything tonight?
Yeah, I used to get regular home deliveries because I can't go shopping at that, you know. I can't be around a lot of people. Normally, that is, without this virus. And so I was doing fine until... all of a sudden, no delivery, you know.
Mm.
And I rang them up and I said, oh, I've had you for the last nearly, 6 years? And they said, yeah, but, you know, other people... I said, what do you mean, other people? I can't get out. You know, I'm totally housebound.
Well, you should be priority.
Well, apparently I had to be on some government list.
Are you on it now?
I go online and register with the government... my condition and everything, and they'll get to me as soon as they... I'm on a list.
All right, are you on the list now?
Yeah, I'm on the list now, but I don't get any groceries, basically. But I'm okay because my daughter's back now. She was away, you see, and they flew her home.
Where was she?
She was over in Germany, and she couldn't get back. My son lives in Germany. She was visiting her brother.
How did she get back?
They managed to get her across to Switzerland, of all places, and got her on a flight in Switzerland.
Okay. Reassure both Hayley and me tonight, though, Dean. Very important, Dean, that you've got everything that you need now.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But what I was ringing about, Howard, was they were on about face masks earlier today. They keep on about face masks. And they're saying, oh, face masks are no good, all these ones you buy off the internet and all that. The thing is, because it's a droplet virus, I used to be a doctor, by the way, I'm retired now. It's a droplet virus, and anything that keeps it away from your mouth and eyes or anything like that, no matter how small or thin it is, it keeps it away, you know?
Okay, now why is it then? You tell me, because you were a doctor. Dean, tell me then, you were a doctor.
Yeah.
Why is it that some people say face masks, yes, and I think all of Austria is being advised to wear face masks. I need to check that up on the news website, but I think they've been instructed to. Why do some people say yes, face masks, and some people say no?
I don't understand, because from my perspective of... I used to do research as well. From my perspective is that... if it's a droplet, virus where, like, if somebody's talking and they spit a little bit, you know, or somebody sneezes or somebody coughs, and that's when it gets transmitted. Yeah?
Right.
So if you've got that across, if you wear any kind of mask, it stops it. It'll sit on the outside.
Mm.
Ideally, you should have a waterproof one like they do in the house service.
But, you know, these things, number one, these things have to be prioritised for medical staff.
Absolutely.
They have to come first because they're absolutely on the front line, Dean.
I think it's grade D, I think. I'm not 100% sure. But any surgical mask, the thin ones that they use normally, they have a barrier, yeah?
What do you think of people? I saw loads of people today, and I've even done it myself, because as Hayley will know, I love scarves. What do you think about people who put scarves in front of their faces?
Providing when you take it off, you wash it straight away.
Right.
You
know, okay.
If you go out and you've got a scarf around, some people use, you know, these like, headscarf things, like, you know, and they're quite sheeny, silky kind of stuff, you know?
Okay, well, listen.
Quite a good barrier as well.
I'm hearing what you say, and you say that you are a doctor, so, you know, I'm guessing you will know about this.
Waterproofy okay. Type of stuff, you know.
Now, Dean, listen, very, very importantly, the most important thing, otherwise I'm going to worry about it, and so's Hayley.
Yeah.
Your daughter's back, and you're okay.
Absolutely, 100%, yeah, absolutely.
All right, well,
I'd sort of phone up if I was in any sort of danger.
But, well, like please do. Absolutely
do. I think any sort of barrier that you can get to stop... The main thing is the eyes is the problem.
No, I understand. Hey, listen, Dean, we've got to move on, but thank you very much for the guidance, and I'm very pleased that you're okay. I was worried at the beginning of this. That's Dean in Oxford, and, well, you heard what you heard. And, you know, all of this stuff about masks, I've been confused about that. I've been using my scarf. Let's get to Caitlin now. Hello, Caitlin.
Hi.
What's going on with you?
Well, I wanted to call because I've called Talk Radio a few times about the virus and things like that. But I'm isolating at the moment because I'm disabled and I'm quite high risk because I've got low immunity. So, but I phoned my grandma the day before yesterday, and unfortunately she's lost two of her friends to coronavirus, one of whom was in the hospital, and the other one actually died at home very quickly.
I'm sorry.
And this isn't kind of I don't want to put your listeners down or anything, but I just want them to remember that however tough this gets, you're going to save somebody's life if you actually, you know, do what we're told to do. And if you can go a step further by wearing a mask or just not going out at all and making other arrangements for food or whatever it is you need, you're saving a life.
Yeah,
you know, and you listen.
Like me, I'm sure you were upset to see people who were just ignoring this. I mean, they're not ignoring it now, most of them. Although I did read somewhere about a pub. There was a story about a pub that I read. I can't remember which paper it was. That was having lockdown lock-ins, which it strikes me as being the height of stupidity. People are by and large, you know, they're taking the advice and they're doing what you have to do. It is too serious not to.
But it, the longer it goes on, the tougher it's going to be for people. And, you know, we're only 3 weeks in and people are already, you know, almost at their wits' end. Like,
Well, listen, I'm concerned, just at the moment, though, I'm interested in you, concerned about you. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've got a husband that lives at home. He's now retired. He retired early from his job. He used to push trolleys at Tesco. And I don't think he'd have been allowed to do his job because of my immunity situation and come home. So I'm very lucky he retired last year.
And how are you managing together, though, if you've got this low immunity? How are you managing at home?
He sort of doesn't go out, and we have carers coming in. And luckily, the team of carers that come in to care for us both, because we both have disabilities... there's only four of them, and they are just absolutely amazing.
And I bet they're rushed off their feet now, aren't they?
They're just absolutely incredible. They're the most incredible four women I've ever met. And we are so very lucky, you know, and we've had to do some out-of-the-box thinking, like getting the milkman to deliver everything that he can deliver, and a farm delivers our fruit and veg, because we live in, you know, rural England, so we're very lucky. So we're not having to use, like, supermarkets and everything else.
Well, that's good. It sounds like you've got it all sorted. Please take care, and, you know,
very lucky.
We're all going to come through this eventually.
But
we just don't know how long it's going to be.
Quick thing.
Just
no matter how tough this gets, be a health hero and just play by the rules.
Absolutely. And I wish that some people had done that first when they were told it and they didn't have to have it rubbed into their faces. But maybe they're now taking it, you know, more seriously, as they should be. If you want to call for any reason, if you want to just talk, that's okay. It's 0344 499 1000. Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Gotta say, I'm loving playing my own music here. they'll probably stop me eventually. But tonight we're gonna do it. 0344 499 1000, Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes, 16 miles apart. From my home to your home. We are the Mighty Talk Radio. If you want to come on and say anything, talk with us, shoot the breeze, talk about beards, of which I'm getting one. It's a long story. I'll tell you. Howard Hughes on Talk Radio with Hayley Hayes. 0344 499 1000. Let's get to Brian in Tyne and Wear. Hello, Brian.
Good evening, Howard. Hello, Hayley.
Hiya, how are you doing?
Brilliant. Good to hear from you guys and girls. I just want to just generally say that I'm staying at my nana's at the minute because obviously my nana needs a lot of help. So we're in different parts of our bungalow. She's got quite a big bungalow, so I'm staying with her just for company, but also just to do a bit of shopping for her. But what I've found, it, she lives in a small town. I don't know if you've ever heard of Heaven before. It's in south of the river, South Tyneside.
Heaven, yeah.
Heaven, yeah. I've been going to the shops and that, and what I find really annoying, and I've been going into the post office to get money out and stuff, because I don't use holes in the wall, you know, hole in the wall, I don't trust them, so I use it to get money out. Every time I turn around, how is there some silly individual standing right behind me, and I'm getting really annoyed, thinking they moved back 2 metres, for God's sake. Even though the post office have got strict regulations about people coming in, you know, they're only allowing 2 and 3 people in one go. They're standing right behind you, and I'm finding that quite odd. Even when I go to the supermarket, like, you know, in the mornings quite early now, they're creeping up on you, they're thinking, customers, you know, must be really silly. You know,
maybe they're just forgetting, Brian, but they shouldn't forget. And have you tried suggesting to them that they just, you know, step back a bit?
Well, I said you watch the news. Have you not seen the casualties out there? You know, you need to stand back before we all get it. And I know that might sound horrible to say that, but you've got to scare people to get back. They're just not listening, Howard. I mean, and it's really like, it's the same with the supermarket. I was looking at some things, and this woman stretched her arm over us and just grabbed a packet of, red peppers. I said, oh, sorry. And I thought, you know, excuse me, but...
Well, I think, you know, some people... We've got to say that there's some people who are stupid, and, you know, you can tell them a million times to do a thing and they still won't do it. And there are some people, of course, and I was one of them today, I've got to say, where you forget. I was in the supermarket and they had a system where you snake round the aisles. So it's like you're doing the conga up and down the aisles.
Yeah.
And so you start at the fruit and veg, you end up at the booze. And I forgot something and I went back. And I thought, I'm not really supposed to go back. You've got to know what you want and get it. But if people are standing too closely to them, to you, you've just got to say it. In the first week of all of this, I was standing at the checkout at Tesco, and I was probably slightly too close to the guy in front, and he just went, excuse me. And I knew what he meant. I said, I'm sorry about that. And I moved back. People should.
You're right. What about you, really? Have you had any problems like that? Have you been out shopping now? Have you been pretty okay with it all?
Well, you know, this being the London suburbs, and I'm not originally from here, but this being the London suburbs, there's bigger demand for everything here. And literally, you've got to pick your times to go to the supermarket. Otherwise, you know, it's the queues are rammed and heaving. And last week, before there were systems to organise it, I went to one supermarket. And I have to say, and I'm not ashamed to admit, I was scared. There were so many people outside waiting, and some of them were not keeping their distance. I just got in the car. And I drove back and I went to a little corner shop that I found and got most of my shop there.
Aye. I mean, my daughter's birthday is next week, Howard, but I won't be seeing her because she's gone off with her boyfriend and she's gone off into County Durham somewhere, staying with his folks in County Durham, so I'm going to miss her on her birthday, which is a little bit sad, because he's got a farm, her family's got a farm, and she's staying on the farm out the road. You know, it's sad, really, because it's her 18th birthday and she can't go out for a, you know, for a night out, which is, like, sad.
You think about all the postponed parties and birthdays and weddings and things like that that are happening now.
Oh, no, it's... but like I say, I'm not worried about going outside because, I mean, where I live, right, I live where there's a lot of cycle paths because they're all converted railway tracks. And the paths aren't very wide and you've got bushes on one side. And when I've been walking through the path like a few days ago, I literally had to dive into a lot of thorn bushes because of the gang of people... They were all walking side by side with each other. There must have been a family of five or whatever. And I thought, oh, my God, they're going to be too close. I literally leapt into the bushes and I caught all my leg on the thorny bushes, so I wasn't happy about that. But
I wonder how many people have had accidents. I wonder how many people have had accidents by diving out of the way when somebody's getting too close.
Yeah, well, my legs are all ripped, Howard. It was not ripped to bits, but I mean, it's got a massive, like, you know, the thorn bushes when I landed in them. It's got quite a nasty, like, rip on my leg, like a long scratch. But I'm just thinking, you know, there's poor me observing the 2 metre thing all the time, constantly when I'm out. And people are just walking past willy-nilly, not, like, caring in the world. And it's, like, scary, do you know what I mean?
And you're saying that and they're still doing that?
Yeah, it's happened, like I say, a few days ago when I was walking up the back lane and taking some stuff up to my own place, because I live on my back lane, they can't get out, it's a cycle path, it's an old railway track converted into a cycle path, thorny bush on either side, and there's gangs of families, you know what I mean, we're just walking up there, and there's guys zooming past you on bikes in the night time with no lights on, and you're thinking you've got me on your wits because they're going to crash into you. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy, honestly. Your liability when you're outside, so I've decided I'm going to go out at a certain time now and stay in. But at the minute, I'm down at my nan's house. I'm staying with my nan at the minute for company, you know what I mean? So looking after my nan, getting a bit of shopping for her, and just keep on watching the people walking past, you know, when you're queuing up anywhere. But, you know, it is scary when they keep on standing right behind you all the time, yeah.
Mm. And how often are you going out for food?
Oh, I try once every 3 days, I would say at the minute. I'm not going out every single day because I try and get enough in, you know, that will last for and stuff, you know what I mean? So, you know, and I'm doing a bit of training at my nan's house as well. I've got my press up bars and that's, I used to go to the gym a lot and I can't even go there, so.
Have you seen those videos? There are people doing videos that give you special exercise routines to do in a limited space.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about them. My daughter's told us to go on them, but I'm not really technology, like, minded, you know what I mean? I kind of do my own little thing in there, my nan's and stuff, and I go in there. She's got quite a big back garden, so I'm doing stuff in the garden as well.
Well, this is all good. I mean, you sound like you've got it all sorted, and let's just say it again, that if people in heaven are not kind of, and that's an absolute minority, I'm sure the vast majority of people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, like they should. But if you're not observing this thing, please get it into your head that it is vital that you do. And we don't, you know, it's been explained, so you know why it is. And thank you for that, Brian. Listen, you take care. We'll talk again soon.
Oh, Andy, Haley.
Yep. Have a lovely evening, won't you?
Andy,
Brian. Talk to you soon.
Right.
In Tyne and Wear. Now, we had Dean on, who says that he was a doctor, talking about masks and stuff, and I wasn't sure. I'm still not totally sure, but there is a way to be sure about masks and all of those things and covering yourself. And there is only one way to do this, and that is the website nhs.co.uk. There you can find the symptoms of coronavirus if you think that you might have it. You'll find tips and guidance there. I was on it earlier today myself. It is very good, and they're constantly updating it. So nhs.co.uk. You know, don't be asking your Auntie Flo. Go to the website, and it's all there. It's a one-stop shop, really. Let's get to Alistair. Hello, Alistair.
Hey, Ryan Howard.
What's going on?
First of all, I mentioned it to Amy. I just want to thank... all you people that bring these wonderful shows, and especially Amy, Hayley, and my other favourite, Sam, because you're all vital in cheering up the nation, and thank you very much.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's so kind. I mean, look, Hayley is in the radio station tonight. Amy's in the radio station tonight. I'm 16 miles away, so the people who are doing the real heavy lifting tonight, Alistair, are people like Amy and Hayley.
Yeah. Now, not so nice, maybe, Howard. I'm going to sing, if that's allowed.
Oh, yes. Okay. We love a bit of singing.
Now, what I need
Do you need any accompaniment?
Well, I'm...
Have you got drums there, Howard?
Well, I can improvise.
Tambourine?
I can improvise.
You got a triangle.
Oh yes, we need a triangle.
Hang on, let me just see. I've got all sorts of equipment and cables.
You've probably got a whole orchestra there, don't you?
I've got everything. You'd be surprised. Got a pair of pliers.
No.
Great big pair of pliers.
What I'm going to do? I'm going to play the karaoke version on my phone.
Right.
I'm going to talk and see if you can hear me both. Right. Hang on.
Okay, but now this is like a rehearsal. It's good we haven't done this before.
Can you hear that?
No.
You can't hear the music?
No, a bit louder.
Hold on.
I heard somebody go bong.
Is that better?
No.
Right, I'll just...
Are you sure you don't want to take me up on my offer?
Howard, could you play a karaoke version of We'll Meet Again by Vera Lynn?
I think you can do that a cappella.
Do you think? All right.
Of course you can. I bet Dame Vera. In fact, I interviewed Dame Vera once, and we talked about We'll Meet Again. And she said to me, do you know something, Howard? In the war, you won't remember this, she said, we had no food. We had powdered milk, powdered egg, and we had to eat whale meat. And I looked across the desk and I said, oh, whale meat again. She gave me... didn't quite go down the way I thought it would. Sorry.
I like that. I like that. That's good.
She didn't. wonderful person to talk to. Okay, come on then. Give us your tune.
I'm not happy to
talk
afterwards, if you wish. He's my dream, like yours, do till the blue skies chase the dark clouds away.
Do you know the rest of it?
Won't you please say hello?
Yes, he does.
To the folks that I know, tell them I won't. No, I'll be happy to know that if you saw me go, I would sing out the song. We'll meet again. Don't know when.
Like the high notes.
But I know we'll meet again some.
Nice one, Brian. I tell you something, it's very hard to be in your place on your Todd singing to yourself. Have you got neighbours?
Yeah, well, yeah, but they're nice. They won't kill me tonight, anyway.
They might ask you to come and sing for them.
Well, how did it come over there then, Hayley, Amy and Howard? How did it sound?
Brilliant.
Hayley?
Brilliant, absolutely amazing.
No, I want you to be honest.
No, it's fantastic. We were enjoying
it.
We were
fun.
Swaying and waving our arms in the air. We were enjoying it.
As my grandmother used to say, you can hold a tune.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Ian doesn't think so.
Oh,
but
really?
There you go.
No, but yeah, I mean, look.
You can't win them all.
Because, you know, I'm 16 miles away from there, Hayley's there, and Lord knows where Ian is tonight. So we can do tonight whatever we want. He's probably at home listening, saying, what's this man doing to my show?
Yeah.
It's all right.
I just wanted to, I don't know if I've asked very quickly. You know, obviously, you know, a lot of people working from home, like yourselves sometimes, and you, Howard, at the moment. I think that after all this is over, this is going to become more regular, isn't it? Because if you think about it, it actually saves money for business if more people work at home, I think.
Yeah, as long as people are not sort of swinging the lead. You know, as long as they're not watching movies on Netflix and doing what they're supposed to be doing.
That's what I would do. But No, what they can do...
it's very frank of you.
Love a bit of honesty.
This is a bit scary, but they would put, you know, cameras in the corner of the room to monitor you.
Like Big Brother.
Yes. I think we're being monitored already.
Oh, yes, we are, of course.
Do you know something? I'll tell you, there is the weirdest story, and I hope we've just got a second to tell this story, but I had I was talking to my friend Katie, who is like an ex-radio producer and one of my best friends, and I always ask for advice from Katie, and I know Katie's listening now. We had the shock of our lives. Normally when Katie and I start a phone call, you know, it's 2 hours before we're finished. So we're getting in the middle of this phone call, and I've got my mobile phone next to my landline phone. And it's, you know, it's quite late. And I'd had a couple of glasses of wine, and we were talking away about life, the world, and where the, you know, hell we're all going. And the phone suddenly says, "Someone sounds like they should be heading for the land of Nod."
Oh.
I thought, where the hell was that? Where was that coming from? The Google voice, I think, that the woman's voice. It's, "Someone sounds like they should be heading for the land of Nod."
But they've been, it's actually been reported that, some of these technology that have got microphones, some people have been monitoring it, you know, as part of the, you know, Secret Service stuff at the times. But, yeah, but that's very disconcerting, Howard. I bet you were a bit freaked out.
I was more than a bit freaked out. I think that is the weird... Listen, my life is weird. I've lived weird for all of these 25 years that I've been alive, he quipped. But that was weird, and I just thought, what was it in our conversation? And Katie could confirm this for us. What was it in our conversation that made that happen? I don't know, but there you go. Hey, Brian, listen, we're going to have to go, but thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. All the best. Stay safe, all of you.
You too. Take care.
Susan, thank you very much for your tweet, by the way. Sorry I didn't get round to it. I'm going to have to do this quietly, because I'm in my little flat, and you know, Hayley, don't you, why I can't shout.
I know.
You know, normally, daytime is okay.
Do we need
daytime
to do the...
I can do voiceovers, but nighttime I've got to keep it down a bit. So I've got to say, ladies and gentlemen, after a break for me of a month, please welcome Alan Caddick. Alan.
Don't take chances. Take this week's exclusive, the untold story of the boy who took the crime, yet became Tagger, the tough Gus Whedon cop. A new series starts next Wednesday. Susan Day talks frankly about her unsettled and insecure life. And her starring role is L.A. Law. We have George Segal sang to a lady in the audience and then married her. Send your free looking band and don't miss anything on ITV and Channel 4. Take TV Times.
Evening, Howard. Evening, Hayley.
Hello, Alan.
Now,
how are you,
now, Alan? If I had in my collection of sound effects, now we both missed you. If I had applause in my sound effects, I'd be playing them for you now. How are you? What's going on?
I know, man. Currently in lockdown in Birmingham.
Yes.
And what's lockdown? Is lockdown in Birmingham different from lockdown anywhere else? Then what's going on with you?
Well, brother, sir, my dad hasn't been to the pub before. Both closed the pubs.
You're going to have to say that again, Alan, I think.
I think so.
Don't forget, Howard's a long way away, so he needs a bit more time to...
And deaf as a post, I am as well.
Can you try and talk closer to your phone? I don't know what's going on, Alan, but you sound really muffled.
Can you hear me now?
It's a little bit better. Yeah.
I'm okay.
Hey, Alan, you didn't tell me what year that TV Times ad was from. You normally do.
That is from 87.
Okay.
87, gosh.
Very good. It's very enthusiastic.
Okay,
no, I could do that. If they were still doing them, I could do those. But I'm sorry.
I've never experienced anything like this in my life, being in lockdown.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, isn't it?
And it's good you could normally, tomorrow, I would have come just there to Liverpool, because I would have been to the Grand National.
Oh, the Grand... You can't do... Of course, yeah, you can't do the Grand National.
Well, there's a virtual Grand National on Saturday.
Oh, is there? I didn't know that. A virtual one. Who's doing that?
Well, it's all been done with computers and all that. Computer algorithms and all that. And they've got 40 horses, one of them is Grand National.
Huh.
That sounds like a very good idea. All right, then.
It's on ITV Saturday at 5 o'clock, if you want to watch it.
Brilliant.
Okay, well, ITV will be, you'll be ITV's favourite person at the moment then. I'd no idea they were doing such a thing. Normally, when I turn on ITV, it's normally the time of day when they've got the roulette wheel spinning. or the guy from the Home Shopping Channel trying to sell me a new laptop.
Yeah, Alan. Audio World.
But Alan, more important than any of that, Alan, are you okay though? I'm a bit concerned about you. You sound a bit down for you because normally you're very up.
Mom and Dad just come prepared. I'm keeping my eyes down.
Oh, I see.
All right. Well, you please. Well, I'm trying to do the same too, for the benefit of my neighbours.
It's about the girls in the studio, and there's Lisa.
Strangest thing ever, Alan. You take care. Nice to hear from you.
I see tomorrow.
Night. 1987 was the year. Yeah, it sounds like Simon Bates. 1987, Love Is, was the year. The TV Times. I think he gets them all off YouTube. And he's very diligent, because we've never had the same one twice, have we, Hales?
No, I think at least he tries. He tries hard, doesn't he?
Exactly.
Points for trying.
I don't think this show would not be what it is without Alan Caddick. He's like, what's that stone, the stone that you lay in a building before?
Foundations.
Cornerstone, foundations. Exactly, thank you. He's the foundations of the show. Shane in Sydney, you didn't think I'd seen your tweet, but I have. Thank you for that. Hayley Hayes, Howard Hughes, Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Ah, now you're talking. Hayley's musical education continues.
No, I think we know this one. Me and Amy have just looked at each other as if to say, I think we know this one.
Top tune, check this. Radio 1. Sorrow's just loving the tune, really. Kathy Dennis, check out her back catalogue, will you? It's well worth hearing. And what was that one? She had a hit. Somebody will know. Kathy Dennis had a massive hit. She's a great singer-songwriter, by the way, and still very much around. She had a great hit, Hayley, in, I think,
Touch
1991.
Me.
Well, that was Touch Me. Oh. That was more recent. What was it
too
called?
Many walls.
Too Many Walls. I've got the CD that has all the mix-outs of that, all the different versions.
She had lots of songs out in 1991. I'm just looking at a catalogue.
I think she's written for a lot of other people.
Just Another Dream, You Lied to Me. When dreams turn to dust.
She's got that kind of thing that Elton John's got. You know, she knows how to put over a song.
Very good.
Hey, Tony Blackburn here. He's probably listening. Tony, if you're listening, haven't spoken to you for too long. There goes another name. Did you hear that go clang?
Bing. Yep.
I tell you, it's funny to me. It's probably not funny to anybody else, but I've got my Sennheiser, my microphone, on one of those angle poise stands, but I bought a cheap one off eBay for about £6. Okay, now normally if you bought a proper one, it's, it's 60 quid. And I thought, well, we'll get a cheap one. The only problem is, and you won't know this because you can't see me, and you're going to be grateful for that. As I've been speaking, this thing is getting lower and lower. So by the time, I think I'm going to be talking
You'll
down
be on
my
the floor
feet at some point. So, but I'm going to have to lift it up at some point, you know, and then you're going to hear a as I lift this thing up. I'll have to, that's why I had the pliers out. That's true. We haven't talked about my beard yet. Promise me we can do it?
We will.
Before the end of the show?
Of course we will.
Because I need guidance. You know, I do. But not right now. I know, Hayley. All right. That's the producer. Jessie in Reading. How's Reading, Jessie?
I'm in Edinburgh, not Reading.
It says Reading on the screen.
No,
it says Reading here.
It was when I was sharing something personal on a show, and they changed my location for safety.
Ah, oh, right.
That's why. It's Jessie in Edinburgh.
Right, okay.
Hello, Jessie in Edinburgh. How is Edinburgh, then, in the middle of coronavirus?
Don't know, because I'm severely disabled, so I have to be in, and I can't do anything for myself, so I have a full care team, and I tell you, I want to pay tribute. They're amazing.
And they've kept up the service all the way through?
Yeah, just like usual, you know what I mean? And they put themselves out, and it's quite inspiring. Also,
there are some wonderful people doing a lot of really good work right now.
Also,
and they do it 24/7, 365. Now, though, the spotlight is on them.
Also, I want to share, there's a useful service food service for people like me and elderly people. Mm. And a lot of people don't know about it. Can I share it?
Well, is it something that's like an NHS-backed thing? What is it?
It's like, you know, the traditional Meals on Wheels?
Yeah.
But they changed it because people want a choice. And basically, it's supported by the council and you get a caring delivery person and they're vetted and they can put your food away for you. And it's really good and it's really nice meals and you choose from a brochure and you get the same person and it's just really caring and it's guaranteed whatever the situation, you know. If the weather gets bad, they'll still be there, you know, and it's just really nice. And I think it should be mentioned because
I knew about Meals on Wheels. I'd never heard of the modern version of that. What's your favourite food then? What do you like most?
Company. It just means people have choice and it's made fresh, but for convenience, they turn it into a ready meal so carers can, or old people themselves can easily eat it up.
Lasagna. Right, so they just stick it in the microwave?
Yeah, yeah, or the oven, but it's really nice, fresh. And you get vegetables with the meals.
Well, that's great. And what you didn't tell me, what's your favourite then? What do you like most?
Lasagna.
Oh, yeah.
Can I mention who it is? Because it's Wiltshire Farm Foods. And wherever you are in the country, even if they're like an hour and a half away, they'll cover your area. Because mine's like about 2 hours away and they cover all of Scotland. And a particular day on each week, they'll come to your area. So it's worth ringing.
Yeah, we all need places sounds like that.
And for them to keep up a service that's just like normal now is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. And they're working on skeleton staff. But what they're doing, an elderly member of staff told me today, the older staff or people with that need to are doing it, answering the phones from home.
Oh,
quite clever, that, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's made a big difference, hasn't it, really, to... I mean, look, what I'm doing now is froth and bubble and nonsense,
yeah.
But for people like them working from home to coordinate all of that...
I know, that,
it's that's where the internet absolutely comes into its own.
So, if I recommend it to any vulnerable elderly person, it's a good service.
And they'll never let you down? That's great.
Yeah.
See, and apart from
Thank
that...
You.
Apart from that, though, how are you keeping?
It's not very nice having to be in.
No.
But it helped. I actually don't like having to have carers, but at the moment I look forward to them because I've got nobody else.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
It's like a regular thing, isn't it? It's like a regular face. And is it always the same people?
Yeah, I have them for 2 hours every time as well.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're getting by.
But it's hard, it is.
And when they're not there, and you can't go out now, how are you passing your time? Are you watching the telly, listening to radio, reading books?
Yeah, it's me that's... Remember the funny cat with the car?
Oh, you're that, Jessie.
That's me. I keep having to remind
Angel.
You. Angel. Yeah.
How is she doing?
Oh, he's loving this lockdown. He's been playing out all the time. He's loving it.
He's getting more attention, I think.
No, I think he likes the quietness. You know, the cars and that outside, yeah. And the nature. He loves it.
That's an interesting thing. I was only thinking before we started doing this,
yeah.
You know, the animals must be aware that there's something going on. You know, the animals that would normally see more people. In the Sun newspaper, there's a great picture of somewhere in East London where a lot of the deer have got out of wherever they normally go, and they're just walking around a housing estate. And they must be thinking, what's going on? Nobody's moved us on. Nobody's picked us up. Nobody's taken us back. Hey, listen, you look after yourself then, Jessie.
Yeah.
Nice to hear from you, Jesse. Please take care. And I'm glad that you're getting the care and the food and the, all the other things that you,
and
you, know,
I hope
you need to
every,
keep going.
Quite a few people like Dean and that heard that about the food. It's really good.
Yeah, no, that's a very good thing that you did. And thank you, Jesse.
Bye.
Okay. Night-night. Jesse. Let's get to, oh, the unexplained friend, Paula, in Blackpool. Hello, Paula.
Hi, Howard. How are you doing?
I didn't mean unexplained friend. I meant friend of the unexplained. I think that's just to clarify. How is life with you?
All right. I'm climbing the walls a bit because I'm stuck in. But apart from that, I'm doing all right. I miss my sister and my boyfriend. I can't see them.
God. How are you? I mean, if you... I just thought of that now. How do you... Are you using Skype and stuff to talk to your boyfriend?
Yeah, I talk to my boyfriend on video messenger and stuff like that. And my sister on the phone because she's not technologically minded. So she can't use Skype.
Oh, but, she's going to have to learn. But you have a think about this, though. You know, it's not a good situation to be in. If you've got a boyfriend and somebody you can't see, that's not nice. It's not good.
I know,
but at least you've got the messaging, haven't you?
Talk radio's been keeping me company, so I've been all right.
Well, that's what we're here to do, as they say. Yeah. But, you know, the fact is that if this had happened 15 years ago, there wasn't anything like that 20 years ago.
No,
there
wasn't.
So at least we can keep in touch like this. If I wanted to do this, then how would I have done it 20 years ago? Well, I'd have had to post a cassette in. Well, I'd have had to post a tape in.
Yeah.
And you'd have heard it next Tuesday.
Yeah, it'd have taken that long, wouldn't it?
But apart from, I mean, are people in those times when you can get out for exercise and stuff, are people going to down the prom in Blackpool, you know, down the front?
They're still going out in groups, and they shouldn't just be, really.
They shouldn't.
My carers tell me that people are still going out in groups. It's wrong, really, but they're still going out.
But apart from that, you're all right, sort of.
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, all we can hope, all of us really, is that this situation is over as soon as it can be.
Yeah, and I'm just doing as I'm told, so following the guidelines and hoping it'll come to an end soon so that I can see my sister.
Well, you have to, because you've had a certain amount of involvement with hospitals this year, so you've got to do what you're told.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sounding like your dad now.
Yeah, no. But, yeah, no, I'm doing okay.
All right, give my love to... Say again?
How's Hayley doing?
I'm doing good, thank you, Paula.
Oh, good.
I'm lovely.
You had a nice birthday, by the way. We had the same birthday on the same day, didn't
we? Yeah, I did have a lovely birthday, thank you. Gosh, that was...
I did, and it was just before the lockdown, so...
Exactly, at least we could go out.
Yeah. No, I stayed in, but I had a lovely time. I had a meal and that, so...
Oh, nice. Well, did you have your favourite meal? What's your favourite meal? What's your birthday meal?
Spaghetti carbonara.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, yeah.
My favourite.
With cheese on top. Cheese?
Yeah.
Yes.
And chunks of ham in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Carbonara. Oh, we like carbonara.
And I like carbonara. My favourite gingerbread lattes as well.
Oh, gosh, that sounds
God,
nice.
Now you've reminded me. We can't get those now.
I think they only... again, eh?
I tell you something. There was a local coffee emporium Starbucks here branch, and I went in, and it wasn't the time of year when they did the gingerbread latte, but I saw they had the syrup behind the counter, and I said, you think you could do me one of them? And she did me one of them. None of that going on now, though.
Oh,
I have to just dream.
You can't get some.
I'll have to dream about gingerbread latte.
I'll have to send you some, because I've got some.
Have you? Ooh. No, you need to keep that for yourself.
Some, won't I?
Ooh, gingerbread latte. I mean, it's not, you know, it's quite fattening, and really I shouldn't be doing it, but it's one of those things. What do they call it? They say it's very Moorish. Very Moorish it is.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Paula, listen, you take care. Give my love to Blackpool.
Speak to you. Take care, both of you.
Take care, too. Look after yourself.
Bye-bye. You see, we got our regulars. Dear Paula in Blackpool. Paula started getting in touch with the unexplained, I think, around about... November last year.
Oh, so it's quite a newbie.
Well, yes. Oh, no, we're picking up people all the time, excuse me. Mm. A rolling stone gathers no moss.
So I believe, Howard, you've grown something in the last couple of weeks.
I thought we weren't going to talk about... Oh, you mean the beard?
The beard, yes.
Well, I have no idea. I don't think I'm alone here. And I have no idea quite why I've done it. But I just thought, in all my life, I've never really been a beard person. I've never really understood the beard thing. And I've never... I think some people have heads that suit being shaved and having beards. Not that my head is shaved. But some people suit that. I mean, you think of Jason Statham, people like that. They shave their heads. They look great because they've got the right shaped head. And then you think of famous people who wear beards. You know, it's like some of the great actors of our time have got beards.
It's
like
quite Simon trendy
Callow.
Now.
Simon Callow.
Yeah.
You know, terrific actor who speaks, you know, proper received pronunciation English, and you'll periodically see on the television speaking beautifully. He's got a beard. So I thought, not because of him specifically, but I just thought, now is a good time to do it, because no one's going to see me, and no one's going to give us stuff anyway. So I thought, I'll just see what happens if I don't actually run a blade over my chops in the morning for a week or more. And so I started growing it, since you asked, about 7 or 8 days ago. And I'm not a great one for growing stubble. It comes slowly with
me. Is it not itchy yet?
Oh, no, it is. It is at the moment. Oh. Funny you should say that. You are psychic, aren't you? You knew I was having a scratch.
I'm having a premonition.
And half the time I look in the mirror at it, and I think, you look like an old moggy. You look like somebody's old cat. And then half the time I think, well, you know, in a certain light, that kind of makes you look intelligent. And I need all the help I can get in that department. So, I mean, listen, I'm sort of asking my listener now for tips about beards, for somebody who's never had one before. You know, I'm at the stage now where it's sort of just, can you hear that? It's just getting established. So you can now see that indeed it is a beard. I haven't spilt milk down my face, or, you know, put toothpaste around my chops. So you can see that it is actually a beard on the way. So it's at the stage where I think some crucial decisions have to be made about, you know, what happens next. You know, how do you groom it when we get to the stage?
Oh, no, if it gets that long that you have to groom it, I think that's when to stop.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Because every morning I wake up and I think, okay, experiment over. And then I think, well, no, let's see what happens next. It's rather like those mad scientists who do experiments.
You could do like a time lapse. Why don't you do a picture every day and do like a time lapse?
Well, I did one yesterday. And Russ Kane, who may be listening, Russ Boy, said that I looked like a French academic in it. I don't know whether that's a good thing. You know, I looked quite... And then I did one today, and I just looked like an old git. So, I don't know, really. And you know, my Facebook page, The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sorry to mention it again, but it is there. And it is available, and it is much in need of attention. And there is a picture of me taken today outside the flat. On what they call the service road, where all the cars and the vans come in. They used to.
Having your daily
You know, in the
exercise.
Days when cars and vans ran. And where I do... Well, there's a long... Funny you should say that. There's a long kind of driveway along there. And it goes all the way to the train station locally. So if you want a bit of exercise, you can go along there. Since you asked. I'm only saying these things because you asked me. And you know how dangerous it is when you ask me things.
Yes. You answer
I start
them.
Talking.
I know.
Well, no, I start talking then, and then we have all kinds of problems because you've got to shut me up. Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, Talk Radio, stay there.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Oh, hello. Need to learn what these controls do. I'll have to keep practicing, that's all. 0344-499-1000, that's our number.
Gone and close the curtains, cause all we need is candlelight. You and me and a bottle of wine, gonna hold you tonight. Well, we know I'm going away.
Now, Hayley, I've got a feeling that the person we're going to talk to next, from past experience, we'll know what that tune is without me saying
so. Me and Amy knew that one. Do we get a point? That's the first song, I think. No, it isn't the first. That's a lie. We knew the first one, didn't we?
Yeah,
the disco
the
one.
I've been going through the collection of CDs, dusting them off. Some of them had about half an inch of dust on them. They hadn't been played in years. And you know, I've been enjoying it.
Well, we appreciated that one because we could sing along. So, thank you.
Well, thank God I'm 16 miles away.
Thank you for catering to our needs. The younger needs.
Pandering to your needs.
Yes.
I know which side my bread's buttered on, excuse me. Sorry, but the power cord's come out of my little phone now. So I've just got to plug it
back in. How much battery does it have left?
Well, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, you were the one who told me get WhatsApp.
Yeah,
but then
yeah.
You also said it's a bit power hungry.
Well, you can look at it on the computer too, but I don't know if you've got a spare screen. Or is that a level up? Is that like a tomorrow task?
Well, no, it isn't. Do you want to hear the story about the computer then? You want to hear the computer story?
Go on.
Tell you a quick one.
Try
go
me.
On. You know, once you wind me up, I start
talking. I know. Go on.
I realised that doing this, you know, sort of broadcasting from home malarkey, I probably needed to invest in another computer. Now, I am Mr., you know, I live on a limited budget. Many people do. A lot of my stuff is bought off auction sites. So the computer that I'm doing this on now is a laptop that has been refurbished. It was a business laptop, and it's got some new memory and stuff like that, and an SSD drive, which apparently is very good. And I'm thinking I need another one of them. So I got it delivered 2 days ago.
Right.
But because I'm not sure what the official advice is about... All right, I know that you're going to say this is pathetic, but I'm not sure what the official advice is for touching and opening things that have been delivered. I'm not going to open it until tomorrow.
Right, okay. Well, I think as long as you open it with some gloves on and then disinfect it.
You think I should be disinfecting the computer itself?
Well, have a look on
nhs.co.uk, yeah.
And check, but I would...
And you think there's going to be a listing for computers there?
Well, no, items really, isn't it? Post, anything that's been in the postal system.
Because, I mean, quite seriously, and this is not official...
No, it's a good question, very good question.
It's not official advice or anything like that. But I've tended to get... I've got a wonderful post person here. Her name is Astrid.
Oh,
and
you?
Astrid is
Astrid.
Is one of the
you
funniest
know her first
people.
Name?
Yeah, I do. Astrid is fantastic. She is the local post person around here and has been for a few years now. And she's just funny. She wears in this current climate, she's wearing a bobble hat. And she's always funny. She always makes me laugh, does Astrid. Anyway, Astrid's been delivering the mail. And I've tended to leave it on because, look... No one's coming into this flat and no one's leaving this flat many days. I only go out when I've got to do some shopping or whatever, or go and check on the car. And I've been leaving the mail on the mat for 36 hours before opening it. And I don't know. I'm sure it's all on nhs.co.uk.
Yes.
And that is what we both recommend, that you check immediately if you have any questions of that nature. And the fact that I haven't is just... testament to my foolishness, really, Hayley.
Well,
so anyway, that's the story of the computer. You're sorry you asked now, aren't you?
No, not at all.
Did you ask?
I can't even remember now if I did ask, but it was useful information.
I think I just... Oh, God, no, everything's falling.
What have you done? You dropped something.
I've dropped the phone and I've dropped my... Oh, God.
God, you've not dropped a drink, have you? You've not spilled a drink everywhere.
No, I've got that. See, I've learned that lesson at work. No, I've got that to one side.
Right.
And my coffee's cold now, so I need a hot one.
Oh, dear.
No, my phone's fallen on the floor. And
can you see who's up next, or do you need me to let you know?
No. That was not a subtle hint, by the way.
Right.
when
I
need
thought
to
you
hint,
might be padding.
No, excuse me. When I need to hint, it will be less subtle than that. You know me too well. Let's get to Diana in Cheltenham. I haven't spoken to Diana for weeks and weeks and weeks since I was last doing this. Diana. Hello.
Hello, Howard and Hayley and Amy. How are you?
Oh, we're good.
We're all right. Yeah. How is my sister? My sister lives in Malvern, Beryl, and she went. She had to get her MOT done before they stopped doing the MOTs, and she had to drive to Cheltenham, I think, 10 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
And she always gives me a report from Cheltenham, because we both love Cheltenham.
Yeah.
So how are things with you, Diana?
Well, did you want to know what that last song was?
I did. Thank you for reminding
me. It's Eagle Eye Cherry and Save the Night, and that was, I think, Nana Cherry's brother.
Yep. And let's ask Amy and Hayley to be honest. Did you both get that right?
We were singing, I know the lyrics, so I could sing along, but I didn't know who it was. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm
the that's same, very honest so. Of you to admit that.
Yeah.
No, you see, I'm trying to raise my game, Diana, with the music. You know all about this.
Oh, you played Roxy Music, Angel Eyes, which is that. I often play that one.
Well, I think you're a disc jockey. I know. I can see. I remember all these things. That's a disc jockey tune, isn't it?
Well, it's just a good song. I mean, I'm sat in front of 10,000 CDs.
Wow.
And I'm not into technology, but I've got a very good mixer, brilliant speakers. I'm a collector and DJ, and most DJs, you couldn't talk to them about music because they don't know what they're talking about. I'm into soul, reggae, rock and roll, hard rock, punk.
And we've never talked about the specifics of the music before. We've talked about the disc jockeying that you do. Who are your favourite artists?
Well, Bob Marley, Fela Kuti, Led Zeppelin, the Sex Pistols, the Clash, the Beatles, the Stones, the Small Faces, a lot of Latin American stuff.
And when you say Small Faces, are you talking about some of the really old stuff, like, isn't it Lazy Sunday Afternoon?
Yeah, they were a great band. And then, of course, the Faces.
Rod Stewart.
Yeah, and of course, where you're from, there were so many bands that came from before that explosion of music in Liverpool.
Well, funny you should say that. I wonder if I can... I'm just trying... But even more recently, we have to say, with Holly Johnson and people like that.
Oh, yeah, that was later on, yeah.
And this... You'll know what this is.
Yeah.
Know what that is?
The Farm, All Together Now, yeah.
Are they All Together
Now? One of the great bands was the Teardrop Explodes, and I think one of them or two of them were from Liverpool.
And, you know, those people... I did some radio in Liverpool a few years ago, filling in the big tower there, and a lot of those people are still, you know, still very much around.
And of course, Julian Cope was from Tamworth, wasn't he?
See, I didn't know that. Tamworth in Staffordshire, somebody had to be. There was somebody very famous in history who was from Tamworth. Although, I know what it was. It was the Tamworth Manifesto.
Yeah.
It was a political thing. Sorry. How the hell did I remember that? I learned that in school.
I do enjoy it when you play your little bits of music during your show on a Sunday night as well.
I think it's been a bit controversial, though, Diana. Some people said, I don't like the music, just use your usual jingles. And some people said, right on, love the music, can you play me a tune?
I mean, Ian Lee and Kath are absolutely brilliant. And Ian Lee, I'd love Lee and Lee
rub it
play
in.
Some great music. And I'd love to have you and Ian on the same show, talking and playing music.
Well, no, I mean, he probably has got vastly greater musical knowledge than me. I mean, I have to say that my musical knowledge is very good on sort of 70s, 80s, 90s, and noughties, and then it sort of peters out about 2008, 2009, really.
But my big hero was John Peel.
Oh, he was great, wasn't he? The late John Peel.
I used to sit taping his show, you know, like a lot of people did, and you'd never be able to get some of the stuff that he played, and that... I met him once very briefly at a music festival, very late at night. He was on a gantry, and he talked to anybody, and we had a five-minute chat, and that man was just lived the music and had an eclectic taste and introduced me to all sorts of music, you know, over the air.
You know, there are very few people like that. There was a guy on air in Liverpool who sadly died a few years ago, and you may never have heard of him, but his name was Phil Easton. And Phil Easton was like Liverpool's version of John Peel. He was only on the air in Liverpool, but everybody knew him.
And that's sad.
He was Mr. Music.
Johnny Walker is good on Radio 2.
Well, some people on Radio 2 these days, but you know.
Well, I know.
I'd say commercial radio rules is what I say, but then I would.
We're talking about speech radio. I love you, your shows, you know that, especially The Unexplained. Ian Lee and Kath are brilliant, and I'm a very big admirer of George Galloway, you know that, who used to be on your station.
Yes, once upon a time, long ago.
I must say, I was listening to your show on a Sunday a couple of weeks ago, and as usual, I was riveted, because I don't own a television. I'm always listening to music and to the radio.
So what kind of stuff do you like on it, then? What are your favourite things? This is market research, by the way.
On what?
What do you like most?
On your show?
Hmm.
Everything, but you were interviewing a guy who lived in a house, I think, in Connecticut or Maine, a haunted house.
Yeah, I was going to say Paul Burrell, but that was Princess Diana's butler, Burris. His name was Kent Burris.
And on several occasions I could hear some sort of roaring in the background.
Well, a lot of people mentioned that. In fact, somewhere I haven't got it here on my little device, but there was a sort of in the background.
Yeah, and I was going to tell you about, but all your interviews are great, and keep up the good work.
And you keep up the good work as well. I'm going to, at some point, it won't be tonight, but I want to ask you about the contents of your cabinet of 10,000 CDs, Diana. Thank you, take
care. Everything is there. Good night.
Night-night. Diana in Cheltenham. Who's a jock? Jostick. Sorry, a disc jockey. God, I can't believe
I thought you said
Jostick. Need more coffee. Steve in Lincolnshire, you're on Talk Radio.
Hello, how are we doing?
I think we're all right, Steve. How's Lincoln?
Well, Lincoln's a bit further away from me, but I presume Lincoln's okay. But in the flatlands,
you mean your grandfather? Your grandfather?
No, I'm Spalding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're more kind of the Fens, then, aren't you? Really,
the Fens, and about 20 miles from Peterborough.
And how is it through in all this, you know, crisis that we're going through, the lockdown and all the stuff? What is it like out there?
Of course, it's not as bad as it is in the cities. But, you know, people are adhering to it. It was a bit crazy in the first week. But, you know, people have settled down a bit more now. I think people will get bored with it before for very long, though.
How are you filling your time?
Well, it sort of like goes, doesn't it? You do a bit of gardening or you do a bit of this and... You know, you manage to get out once a day to do something else, but you just do it, don't you? Anyway, I think beard.
Beard. No. I was going to say the gardening is booming today. I couldn't believe the number of... My local Tesco, and this is like... Well, my local Tesco is the place to go, Tesco in Teddington, because they've got a ton of plants just in.
Yeah, because garden centres can't sell it because they're not allowed to open as essential products.
No, I couldn't believe the amount of plants they were bringing.
There's a big thing about loads of them having to be dumped because they can't sell them.
And that's just sad, isn't it? Hey, what about the beard then? I can use any advice that you can give me.
Well, I was going to say, first off, are you applying for Captain Birdseye? That was the first one. Is that up?
Yes, I think I could. I think I'm.
You could get away with that.
I could do.
I think yeah.
I think I've reached the stage now where I could do that.
Yeah, basically what I do in mine is just trim it up every now and again. That's all you need to do, I think, and make sure it's clean.
Well, I mean, that's easy for you to say. What do you trim it with?
Just general scissors, trimming it as it goes. I sometimes, if I get fed up with it, I cut it right back and then let it grow again so it comes up a bit more bushier.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, no, it's true, isn't it? With a plant or a tree, they used to say that if you cut it back a bit, then it grows back all the better.
Yeah, but I think with age now, I don't think it grows as much for me. I think since I hit the 40s, I think it's not as growing as much. It used to be really quite long at one point.
Well, I think at most, like most things, it's probably all down to your testosterone level.
Well, it probably is. Yeah, it's still black. Not got one or two grey coming through, but not still black.
Lucky you.
Yeah, but
I always wonder what colour it would be.
Yeah, because once you get to a certain thing, I mean, it can suddenly all just go like peppery, can't it? It's if you
salt and pepper.
Yeah, sort of that way. Yeah.
So you think that I don't have to use oils and stuff like that if I just trim it when it gets a little bit more established?
I just trim it when it does, and then you know, make sure it's clean when you have a shower or whatever, and just make sure you give it a good rummage through.
Could rummage through. How do you stop it itching?
Well, it stops itching itself after a certain period of time once you're new to having one. Once you've grown it for a few weeks, it just stops itching itself. Because I presume it's fairly new for you, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it's not that established yet. Nobody's called me fungus face yet, but then I haven't seen anybody.
Now, the only thing will be if it's in the summer when it gets quite hot. Sometimes it can get a bit sweaty.
No, I think I'll be having it off by then, if you pardon the expression. Hey, listen, nice to hear from you, Steve.
And you. Take care. Oh, another, just before we go, a song for you. What about Enigma, Age of Loneliness?
I'll find it. I won't have it tonight, though. It's not on my little recorder. Enigma.
I'm going to write that.
Enigma, Age of... Hey, listen, Steve, thank you very much. Take care.
And you. Take care. All the best.
Got to press on. Midnight News coming right up. Howard and Haley. Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Shout out to all my friends in Liverpool. How are things in Bootle and Crosby? There's a reason why the band who made this was called The Farm, and I told you it on Sunday, but if you didn't hear it and you're interested, I'll tell you when we've heard a bit of them. I think that makes sense.
Never mention your trenches were failed to. When they stop by
What a great tune that is, eh? Liverpool's, well, some of Liverpool's finest. The Farm, and the reason they were called The Farm is that there was a housing estate in Liverpool years ago, and the green, when they had green buses there, the green buses used to go there, it was called Cantrell Farm. And if you're from Liverpool, you know the Cantrell Farm is pretty famous. I've no idea whether it still exists. I think it probably does. But they were called The Farm after Cantrell Farm, I believe. Are you impressed, Hayley, or are you just bored?
My mic wasn't up, but I'm very impressed.
You have to say that.
Sorry.
0344 499 1000 is our number. If you're outside the United Kingdom, then that's fine. Because you can call 44 344 499 1000. And that'll get us. So, you know, don't think that you're exempt from, don't think you're exempt from the punishment. We'd like to get you on if you're overseas. And if you're in any part of the United Kingdom, we're very pleased to hear from you. And, you know, very, very grateful, actually. If you want to just shoot the breeze, tell me what your experience of all of this is, that's fine. Let's get to Simon now. Hello, Simon.
Hello, young man. How are you?
Well, all the better that you call me young man, really. It's been a very long time since anybody called me that.
Well, I'm sure you're a bit younger than I am. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should not mind that particular scene.
No. Your Sunday show, the evening show, mate, it's absolutely amazing. I love it.
Well, that's really nice. Thank you. And it all came out of a podcast. I started doing a podcast. And when they launched Talk Radio, the boss of Talk Radio, Denny, got in touch with me through LinkedIn and said, would you like to come for a coffee? And it's always interesting when people invite you for a coffee. And he said, we're starting this radio station called Talk Radio. And would you like to bring a version of your podcast to it? And that was basically it. And that was 4 years ago now.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So what sort of stuff on that do you like most? Because I know there are people who like the conspiracy theories and people who like the ghosties and ghoulies. What do you like?
Well, I'm a fan of Jordan Maxwell. I don't know whether you've heard of him.
I have. I never spoke to him, but yes.
So, yeah, he's quite an interesting guy, and he looks into all sorts of different things to do with the paranormal and the spiritual side, and he looks into the stories in the Bible and conspiracy theories. It's just another way of looking at things. I just find it really interesting. I don't take it too seriously,
I always say, Simon, that, and I've been saying that since I started doing it, that even if only, say, 10% of it is true, and absolutely 100% true, then that's 10% that might change what we think about the world.
Absolutely, I totally agree with what you're saying. Anyway, so 10 o'clock, Sunday night, I look forward to the show. I put the radio on, I lie down on my bed, and I listen to the show, and I drift off, and it's wonderful.
Okay, well, I hope you drift off closer to the end than the beginning.
But sometimes...
own personal reasons.
Yeah, towards the end. But sometimes you do spook me sometimes, and I think to myself, what if? You know, we start talking about ghosts and spirituality and things being next to you. We can't see things because they're out of our dimension. They're not within our spectrum of light and things.
Well, you know, there were many people that I've spoken with, but, you know, some of them would say, there are more things in heaven and earth than we can ever be aware of, or words to that effect. And I think there probably are.
Yeah.
But from seeing one ghost once in my life, and weird coincidences that happen to me all the time, you know, the paranormal is, a lot of it has passed me by, so I've got to talk to other people about their experience of it. I've never, as far as I know, I've never been abducted by aliens, but I sure know people who say they have.
I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen an alien or a spaceship, although I've spent a lot of time looking, but I've never actually seen anything, so whether, you know, what can I say? What can I say? Perhaps I'll see something on the other side.
Well, if indeed there is another side, we don't even know that, do we? I tend to think that there probably is.
Well,
but, you I did a funny... Sorry, I interrupted you there. Sorry. It's the digital delay. No, please.
I do believe there's something there. You know, I wake up in the morning And I thank the Creator, whoever it is, for my consciousness for this day, because we don't know when our last day is going to be. So, yeah, I'm aware of my mortality.
Well, I'm with you on that one. And, you know, sometimes I haven't...
everything.
Well, you know, sometimes I haven't I haven't made the most of opportunities and things that have come my way, but I'm being more... The older I get, the more grateful I am. Listen, Simon, please take care. Thank you very much. Howard Hughes.
God bless you. I'm looking forward to Sunday evening.
Me too. I'm not quite sure who's going to be on it yet, but we'll soon get it sorted. Thank you for that,
Jordan
Simon.
Jordan Maxwell, hopefully, one day.
Yeah, I'm going to look up his email address if he's got one.
Oh, he's brilliant.
And we'll have to get him on.
Thank you.
All right. Simon, take care. Hayley Hayes, Howard Hughes, 0344 499 1000. It's just me saying random words and phrases now. Hayley, you've gone very quiet.
I worry
when you go quiet.
No, it's because they're talking about your unexplained stuff, so I like to let you indulge.
Well, there's a wonderful man that I've talked about here and on the show before called Lionel Fanthorpe, and he doesn't, sadly, I don't think his health is the best now, the Reverend Lionel Fanthorpe, and he's in Cardiff, and he's got this wonderful voice, and I know I've done the voice before here, but he's just like Hagrid from Harry Potter, and he'd say, "Do you know something? I was driving in the car, and that thing happened, and to this day, I'm not able to explain why that happened." I love him.
Lovely.
We'll have to play on the unexplained.
Went
just
a bit
another
Tom
little
Jones
note to
then.
Myself. What?
You went a
no,
bit Tom
Jones.
Jones
is more. Oh, stereo. I must get stereophonics on. Mama told me not to.
Oh, yes. Can we have that after the break? Please.
Excuse me.
Do we not do requests?
Could Amy get it?
Oh, right. Okay. So then Amy's back in business, is she?
You want just this one?
Oh, okay. She might need to come out of retirement. We thought you were doing the music tonight.
Well, not that I'm running out of tunes.
Okay, that's a hint. So that's a clear hint, as Amy got it.
Now, listen, the part of this that you don't actually see is that for those tunes to get onto this little handheld £70 Tashcam recorder.
Is it a cassette player or,
No, it's not. It's an MP3 and WAV 2496 recorder. Ooh. Excuse me. My technical friends will know what that is. I haven't got a clue. But what I have to do is I have to... put the CD in, copy a little bit of it, then put it into the recording software, then make it nice and make the waveform nice and flat, as my technical friends will understand.
Right.
And then put a fade on the end of it, and then save it as, and give it a title, bumper number. I call them bumper music. And I've got, how many of those? I've got about 30 on this little recorder here, maybe 25. And I'm running out of them.
Okay.
So I've got to do some, what this means is, I'm taking requests. Let's do that. For tomorrow's show, for bumper music, the best way to get in touch with me is to go to my website, theunexplained.tv, call your email bumper, and give me a music suggestion, and I'll find it, and I'll get it on this machine for tomorrow night. It's all a bit clunky, but it sort of works. Story of my life, really. Howard Hughes, a little bit clunky, but he sort of works. What do you say then, Hales?
I say do it. Right. Clunky is good. We like clunky. We get used to clunky.
Go to theunexplained.tv, follow the link, send me an email, and if you've got a bumper music suggestion, then I shall drag myself out of bed tomorrow morning.
Okay.
After my whiskey tonight, which I'm having after the show, which I'm really looking forward to. After that, then I'll get down to putting some bumper music in. But for right now, we've got to get on with the show. Otherwise, I should be in trouble with my producer, and that's Hayley. Nigel in Maidstone. Are you all right, Nigel?
Oh, hello, Howard. How are you? All right.
I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah. Well, I rung up. I felt a bit depressed all the evening because there's so much, trouble in the world. And I going back to those theories you're talking about, I nearly got flooded out three times. I was almost flooded out. And the stress of the water coming up to the back, almost up to the back door, three times in a row after Christmas was a much, it was just incredible, really.
People have forgotten about that, but that was the first big news story of the year.
Yes.
People in all sorts of the parts of the country were getting flooded out. My own sister, in her area in Worcestershire, they had it really badly. Is it okay now for you?
It's okay, yeah, but it was really bad. It almost came into the village again like it did in 2013 or something, I think that was. And and what crossed my mind was, is it the beginning of the end of the world, fire and floods? And then we got the very bad fires in Australia, which killed a lot of animals and people, and in America as well. And it all happened at once, didn't it? Like the end of the world. Coming,
probably,
you know?
Probably unfortunate coincidence. But I tell you what, this is a time for people to stop and think about life and everything.
Yeah, and now this coronavirus is turned up. I'm beginning to wonder if that's the last. If this is it, you know. But my I don't think it is it?
No, I don't think it is. I think this is another challenge for us. Don't forget that 100 years ago there was 100 years ago there was Spanish flu. We came through it. We'll come through this, but it's going to be a bit rocky for a bit, and we're just going to have to learn different things.
I told you I had a friend who was a palm reader. I think Brian Gunn. You might know Brian Gunn. I've heard of him. He's a palm reader.
Tell me.
Have you heard of Brian Gunn?
I haven't.
No, but he was working in Vegas, and he had to come home because of this coronavirus, and he can't fly back. And there's no work. They've shut all the hotels that he was working at in Vegas. And he earns quite a lot of money, you know. He's quite rich for reading people's minds. And he said that he can tell me that he doesn't think this is it. He thinks they're going to find a cure after about 6 months or something, he reckons.
If you think about this, and if you ever start to get depressed about this, and I do and everybody does, all of medical science everywhere is working on this now.
Yes, of course they are. You know, they're working their brains out, aren't they, at the moment. Have you seen my... Because I did a song, a coronavirus song, and it went viral. And I've got 1,000 views in one day, because I did it the Ian show the other night. And have you seen
it? You did a coronavirus
YouTube
song that went viral?
Yeah, coronavirus Nigel from Maidstone on YouTube. And
I'll look it out.
You can hear it now if you want to. It's only very short.
Yes, please.
Of course we want to.
Play it now?
Yes. Or just sing it. Can we have an acoustic version?
Yeah, sure.
Have a cappella.
You don't want to play a recording on YouTube?
No, we want to hear you.
No.
Oh, it's better live, isn't it?
I've made a different one up since.
Excuse me, I didn't stay up until 12:15 to hear a recording. I want to hear it live.
I'll put another tune to it now. I'll do this one quickly then. It's the coronavirus, the coronavirus. No, I'm sorry, I can't do it. No, I haven't got it quite together. But are you able to play that one on YouTube? It's very short.
Yeah, we'll find it. Amy will find it after the break.
Before 1 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll play it before 1 o'clock.
Coronavirus, Nigel from Maidstone. And I was amazed at how many views I had at it, you know? Thanks for this chat anyway.
You're a star now. Now you please take care. And next time we want to get you singing live, okay?
Not about the virus, so something proper. I like doing ballads and things.
But I know we've heard.
Are you on tomorrow night?
I am. Unless I get oiked off before then, yes.
I'd ring up tomorrow night and find a song before then to do.
It all depends on the boss, really. Okay, listen, Nigel, you please take care. We'll talk tomorrow then, okay?
You take care. Bye-bye. God bless to you all. Bye-bye.
Night-night. God bless. Gavin in Stansted. How are you, Gavin?
I'm very well, Howard. How are you? And hello, Hayley.
Hiya.
Hello.
Yeah, how's it going? A track for tomorrow, When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin.
Is that a bit loud and raucous for midnight?
No, for tomorrow. If you play it at the start of your show, it's...
Is that when the levee breaks? When the toilet breaks?
When the levee breaks.
Oh, I thought you said the levee.
Can I
just apologise for my producer?
They were called Zed Leplin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when the levee breaks.
The toilet breaks.
Who says levee these days?
I don't know.
The levee is a blues-based number.
Oh. Carsey, now there's a good word. Sorry.
Carsey. The Carsey breaks.
Straight out of Steptoe and Son, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, man. Yeah, what I was calling about was I listened to your show. Well, I listen whenever you're on. And what do you think is causing the rapid increase of dead pulsars in deep space?
Oh, I mean, nice, easy question then.
I have no idea. I dropped that one on you. But there's been a rise in NASA's deep space telescopes, picking up more and more of them, and it's only just recently come to my attention. I wondered if, like, you or one of the people you are kind of in touch with has noticed that and has got any ideas about it.
I know, but I don't know about dead parcels. There was a story that was fascinating out of Israel last week about a lot of dead bats just falling out of the sky, loads of them, and they couldn't work out why it was. And I haven't seen anything else online about it. Which is nothing to do with pulsars, by the way.
Bats they hang by their little feet upside down.
I once had a bat in a hotel room, and you haven't lived until you've tried to chase gently a bat out of your hotel room. And I wonder if I can tell this story. Haley, can I tell
this
story?
Please, this sounds funny. I love this kind of story.
Yeah, I want to hear this story.
I can just imagine you running around panicking about this bat. Please, I need to hear more.
I haven't seen a bat.
I'll tell the story then.
Go on.
Okay, Howard.
Most of my stories are at least 20 years old. This one's about 18 years old. I was with a former girlfriend, and this was not the incident that ended it. No. Let's not go too far beyond the realms of reality.
Right,
we booked a country house hotel in Devon. Very nice thing. It was summertime, and we were staying there, and it was really dead. It was just like it is here now, dead quiet at night. And I was thinking, what a lovely place this is. We had a lovely dinner and went up to bed, and then we were fast asleep. And the next thing, she wakes up and says, "There's a bat in here." And I said, "What? Come on now. Bats have got radar. They don't go inside buildings." And she screams because she's scared of bats. And she runs into the bathroom and then expects me to deal with it. So I am, because it's a hot night and for no other reason, stark naked.
that's unusual behaviour.
Well, exactly. Running around with a tea towel and a towel, gently trying to flick this bat out of the window. The bat will not go out the window, right? And I'm thinking, I'm going to have everybody up in this posh hotel. They're going to throw me out. So I gently get it to the door, right? To the door, to the corridor of the hotel. And it's there. And I'm saying to it, not that it can understand me, most people can't. I'm saying to it, you've got to go, okay? So I'm going to open the door. So I open the door, and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe. I open the door, and I'm feeling really pleased with myself because I've let the bat out. And then I realize I'm standing at the door.
Yeah.
The door of the hotel, looking into the corridor, totally stark naked. Now, I was lucky. Nobody appeared.
Gosh.
But how would I have explained that for somebody who might have been coming up the stairs at that point?
For insurance purposes alone, that would be very difficult to explain.
Well, I don't know how you would, But fortunately, the good point about this thing is that I got away with it. I think that's the thing.
Just about.
So did you banish the bat?
Yes, I did. And the bat lived to tell another day. And I lived to put me clothes on.
And that's all I want to hear.
Well, that's all you need to hear, Gavin, really. There is no more.
I've got to get to sleep with that image of a naked Howard Hughes chasing
it's not pretty.
All right, it's all the best, Hayley. All the best, Howard. Thanks a lot.
Not a pretty image. You wonder why she's an ex-girlfriend? Maybe that's part of it. Who knows? God, I can't believe that I'm bearing my soul here tonight. 03... Who cares? 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Coronavirus, we don't want it anymore. It's the coronavirus, take it away. It's the coronavirus, go away. I can't stand it anymore. Please go away. I can't forget the time I heard you say, it's the coronavirus, take it away. So don't go outside anymore till it's gone. We don't want it anymore. It's the coronavirus, take it away. We don't want it anymore. Please, God, take it away.
Wow.
The one thing, Nigel is great, because I don't know if you've noticed, but as a singer, Nigel has got perfect pitch.
He does,
so when
doesn't
he does a note, it's absolutely stable.
And he's got that vibrato, so his voice slightly quivers. Slightly quivers.
I can know what you're talking about now.
Sort of.
He's got vibrato.
I try.
Just a couple of people to say hello to. Now, you're sending me screenshots of the stuff coming in, but one of them is only half of the screen. So
I said if you touch the picture, just a bit of educational.
No, I've done it.
Have you touched a picture doesn't go bigger?
I've made it extend, but it actually the physical bottom of it is halfway through the message.
Oh, okay.
So I've got Kyle here. Kyle says he hasn't shaved. Oh, hello, Kyle. Hasn't shaved for about 4 weeks. Laziness, says Kyle. Same with me. Beard oil is worth using. Yes, but where do you get beard oil in a crisis, Kyle? It's a question. I mean, where? And then there's somebody who says, everybody loves your shows on Sunday nights. I thank you for that. You are very much appreciated. And then the message disappears because I can't see the bottom of the screen. But whoever sent that, thank you. And Nathan, who sent me a message about The Farm, I can only sing the Everton Cup final version of The Farm altogether. I don't know that one. Because I haven't been in Liverpool for too long, really. I'm missing the place. I haven't been for about a year. I need to find out what the cup final version is. I'll look it up after the show. How about that? Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes. Our number here is 0344-499-1000. Yes. Let's go to... Sorry, I'm just checking my WhatsApp now. I'm trying to fill. I'm trying to do it really, really, really badly. That's all right. Let's go to Shane in Sydney if he's still there. Shane, are you there?
G'day, Howard, Hayley, Amy.
G'day.
How so it's tomorrow... You're well into Monday in Sydney then, Shane.
Yes, mate. It's about nearly 10:30 Friday morning. This Friday, isn't it?
Yes, no, you've time travelled.
Yeah, it's Friday for both of us.
You sent me an email. Thank you for the email that you sent me, by the way, about how you're coping with the coronavirus and the lockdown and all the stuff there. How is it for you?
Oh, it's crazy, mate. The first few days I was crawling up the walls, but... I've got a few things. I collect DVD movies and TV shows and all that, so I'm watching them, mate.
And have they I haven't looked at what they're doing in Australia. I know in South Africa they've got a big lockdown that started last Thursday. What's yours like? What can you do or not do?
You've got to be two people with the wide apart, and not a lot of people congregating in crowds and all that. You can go shopping or medical appointment, but they've been advising people to stay at home, or the police are out on force. They're fining people $1,500 if you're doing the wrong thing.
And are the police enforcing that? Are they actually, you know, handing out those fines?
Well, they have five in the last few days. I think it's dead on the TV.
Now, when you emailed, you were getting bored with it all. Are you still bored?
I have my days. But then I have a good day. I usually ring up. Well, Mum gives me a ring and all that, see if I'm okay, because I live by myself, you know.
And well, you know, I visited Sydney twice, and I was very lucky to do it, and I did it for work. And, you know, we had a week out there. And you don't really see very much. But where are you? Like, are you anywhere near the Harbour Bridge and stuff, or are you further out?
No, I'm in the western suburbs of Sydney, Howard. It's probably about three quarters of an hour from the city, a long way from the beaches, and it's sort of inland, out of Sydney.
And how are people taking it all? Because the one thing I loved about Australia is the fact that they're very optimistic. You're all very optimistic. You know, the idea is like, she'll be right. Is that how people are taking this?
It is. It is, actually. A few weeks back, it was being autumn, I was surprised. It was really hot here. And Bondi Beach was crowded. And everyone was fuming because there was people... didn't worry. They've just congregated around. So that's where they got the police down there to evacuate the beach. And no one took any notice. It's crazy.
But now they realise it's serious.
Exactly. It was mostly a lot of backpackers, I think it was.
How are people, like, working and businesses and things like that, how are people coping with that?
A lot of people have been put out of work. The government is with the unemployment benefits, they're raising that. They're giving pensioners a one-off $750 and they'll get another one off $750 in June. And daycare nurseries for the little children and babies and all that, they're going to wipe the beach, and that's going to be all free.
Right, so I guess that's helping, but I don't know, I'm trying to work out what the exchange rate is. $750 is not going to go far, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's one off the pensioners, then they're going to do that again in June. But, so we'll see, here we go. They have as far as they stay along, you know.
And is your government, I'm sorry, I know this is a bit kind of serious and newsy, but I think we just have to, because I didn't know anything that was happening in Australia. What is your government telling you about the way that this is all working and about how long you might have to be, like, in lockdown for?
Well, they're saying for 3 months you'll be locked down, and they're going to tell everyone how the virus is going then. But it's peaking here in New South Wales. I don't know about Queensland and Victoria and all that, but it's peaked here, they reckon.
And when you have to go...
Sorry?
No, you carry on.
No, that's okay.
When you have to go to your local, like, Coles supermarket, which is like the Tesco's of Australia, when you have to go there, how's that organised? What are they making you do?
Oh, that's good now. It's real. I went up to Woolworths up here, then I went to Coles, but that was real civil of us. No pushing or shoving. But when it first happened, everyone was grabbing toilet rolls, and there was actually fights. And up in Queensland, there was the police had to use their taser gun on some person. That's how bad it really was. I couldn't believe it.
I saw a video, and that was from Australia, of somebody having a fight over toilet rolls.
That's right. That's about two suburbs from me, from where I live.
Gee.
It's really crazy.
Is it less manic now?
Yes, it was really good yesterday. It was real calm, and everyone was calm. There was no arguing and whatever. But the toilet rolls are still hard to get by.
Well, they are here too. You try getting canned food. You know, canned food is running quite short. I got some beans today, and I thought, I don't bother with beans. I used to love baked beans on toast when I was a kid. I'm almost living on it now. It's bizarre how all this is.
Well, I've got my cartons of beer here, pal, so I'm pretty right that way.
And what are they? What beer do they? I should know this. It's not in Sydney. Foster's, I don't think, is the local beer. What's the local beer?
No, I'm not real keen on Foster's. I drink Reese's Draft, but I'm on 4X now. Queensland beer 4X. That's not bad.
I used to buy 4X imported from Australia when I was like sort of 20. I used to buy imported beer, and I always used to think that the beer that was actually made in Australia tasted better than the same brand that was brewed in Britain. I just didn't think it was the same. I'm probably wrong, but that was I was 20.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't real keen on Foster's. It's too sweet for me.
Now, you know, when I worked on Capital Radio in London, I had an assistant for a while, a really top guy called Ben. Ben Coles was his name. And Ben used to talk about Australia all the time. He was a Londoner, but he used to talk about Australia. And then Ben went home to Australia. And I said, oh, what are you going to do when you're there? And he said, well, I'm going home. And eventually he told me that his family were the Coles family of Coles supermarkets, which will mean nothing to a British listener, but a very, very great deal to you, I think.
Wow, Coles, because they're a big, big supermarket chain, like Woolworths here.
Yeah, no, I'd no idea, but Ben was one of the nicest people I ever worked with. Hey, listen, Shane, thank you very much for telling us about Australia. Please take care. And, you know, please feel free to come on again. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Howard, Haley, and Amy. Thank you very much, man.
Take care. And during all of this, Haley, I've got to tell you that the movie that I enjoyed watching most at the beginning of all of this was Crocodile Dundee.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I've seen it so many times, but it was just, you know, one of those movies that takes your mind off it all completely.
Yeah.
That's what that was. You know?
I watched a good film the other night called It's Complicated, Meryl Streep. wasn't
it? And was it?
Really good. Yeah, really good. It's about a divorcee, you know, should she get back with her ex-husband. It's very chick flicky, but I'd really recommend it. I think it's probably about 8 or 10 years old. It's not a new movie.
And how complicated was it?
Oh, very complicated. Very,
we like it complicated.
You know, she got divorced, but then the ex-husband came back in her life, but then she met another guy at the same time, and it was like, does she venture new or does she go back?
God, what did she do?
Oh, gosh. Well, actually, they left you hanging at the end, which was really, really annoying. So at the end, she sort of got back with the husband, but then the new guy was still kind of floating around, and you don't really know at the end. So it's up to you to kind of believe what you want to believe.
What did you want her to do?
I think she should have gone back with the original, with the husband, because they were married for a long time. They had 4 kids together. I think they should have stayed together. But
now, what's the point of a film when you're left guessing at the
end? I know! But it was really good, though, and Meryl Streep is hilarious. It's a really funny, upbeat movie. So if you're needing a movie to watch over the next couple of days, I really recommend It's Complicated.
There are some... I'm going to check that one out, because I love Meryl Streep, but there are some actors who can be anything. Yeah, Leo DiCaprio is one of them. Tom Hanks is another one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Meryl Streep, they can become absolutely anything. It's such a skill.
Well,
don't you think that stopped you?
We have other skills, you know.
Well, you might.
You
I'm just bluffing.
Not at all.
Okay, now, let's proceed here. Let's check my WhatsApp. And my WhatsApp is telling me, because you typed it, that Manny's on next. Manny in Wolverhampton. Hello, Manny.
Hi, Howard. Amy.
Are you all right, Manny?
Hayley. Yeah, I'm fine. And how are you?
Well, I'm okay. No, I was just... You sounded a bit gruff when you came on.
Oh, just a bit of a... I've been checked out. I haven't got the virus. I've just got the old, like, a smoker's cough.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a self-inflicted wound.
It is. I'm trying to give up, but... no, look. I've tried
it. Well, look, you've got a lot of... We've all got a lot of time on our hands. This is a very good time for doing things that you've never done before. Try giving it up.
I've tried out. I've given the drinking up, so that was a bit hard. And anyway,
but
when
you're drinking more than you should, and I've had periods in my life, and a lot of people have, most people have, I think, probably. When you've been a little bit over the limit, but when you cut it back, or when you go on one of these dry January or whatever, you feel so good, don't you?
Yeah, but I started drinking a lot when I lost my sight, because I've only got 8%, 5% vision left.
Yeah, you told me.
Anyway, I love your show on a Sunday. I absolutely love it. Never miss it. Never.
Thank you, man. You know, I've been asking people what they like the most. Do they like the Ghoulies and the Ghosties?
The UFOs and the ghost stories.
I have got a great... this afternoon, sitting exactly here...
I was waiting for that bloke to come on. You know the one...
What's that? You
said there was one chap was supposed to come on from Warsaw. He was a policeman, wasn't he, when the child ran through him?
Yes.
Last year that was, but he never came on for some reason.
He was on the podcast.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's on the podcast. Check the podcast. There are 440 podcasts now.
Yeah, because I've got on the iPhone, I've got VoiceOver. It does everything for you. Things and everything.
Well, the one that's out now is Paul Hellyer, the former Defence Minister of Canada.
Oh, yes, Canada, yeah.
I recorded that here, 4 days ago? I'm losing track of time. Okay. Today, just before I came on the radio...
Plenty of time on there.
Well, no, you've got to... That's a good one. And today, I did even though I say so myself, one that I am proud... And I'm my own worst critic, but I'm proud of this one. I spoke to a man called Kevin D. Randall, and we talked about Project Blue Book and UFO investigations and how America's been investigating UFOs for years and has often tried to divert people from thinking that they're real, tried to make it look like, you know, it's all a hoax kind of thing. But Kevin D. Randall, great guest, sorry.
163, and they do about... 2 or 3 hours of UFO programs on there, and the chap who normally comes on your show from America,
Micah Hanks.
No. He used to work for the government here.
Oh, you mean Nick Pope? Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, he's on there sometimes as well. He does quite a bit on there as well.
Mm. Yeah, no, Nick Pope is getting very well known in America. He lives in Tucson now, Arizona.
That's what I heard him a couple of weeks ago on your show. But did you know that there's a YouTube channel called Masterminds? It's only 30-minute documentaries. And it's
is that Mastermind as in the TV program? Hang on, I'm writing this down.
No,
Mastermind.
No. They, it's clever people who in America who rob banks, who do burglaries, who do counterfeiting. Ooh. You know, it's actually brilliant. First it's a show, a little bit, blah, blah, and then the guy comes on and other people come on and tell you how they actually doing. But it's only about 30 minutes, but it's brilliant.
It's not a guide to crime, is it?
No. They tell you how to catch them and everything, you know, start to finish, how they started and how to get caught.
Yeah, well, that's it, you see. There's a guy that we have on The Unexplained called Greg Hausch, and his dad was a bank robber. He was a hacker at one point, and now he's a good guy. He's an ethical hacker. And he's fascinating to talk. He's an amazing guest to talk. I must get him back on. He's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in fact, I think I'm doing another podcast.
Ghost and UFOs tomorrow, please.
Okay, or check out Kevin please. D. Randall. And that's the one the podcast that I'm putting out on Sunday night. Kevin D. Randall, edition 440. I promise you, it's a cracker. It's a cracker.
Is that already on?
No, I recorded that today, so I've got to do the...
Sunday, so
I've just got to...
Monday.
I'm doing two a week at the moment. But anyway, Manny...
Your show is absolutely fantastic. I don't know why you don't do Saturday nights. Honest to God, I don't know why you don't do Saturday nights.
The boss won't let me. That's probably the truth. No. You know, but God. Sunday night is a labour of love for me, really. When I get home...
That's
very kind. But when I get home, I start... Sometimes I can't sleep. So I start planning... planning the next week's show as soon as I get home. That's how sad I am.
No. I think a lot of people love your show.
Well, that's kind. You know, I mean, it's nice to think that something that, you know, was my idea and that I actually started doing here in this little flat.
Yeah.
It's so weird. More importantly than anything, just finally, are you keeping okay through all of this, though? Are you feeling all right?
I am, yeah. I'm in separate rooms because my wife's a nurse and they're bloody working, like, you know, 13 hours, 12 and a half hours. So, because they haven't been tested yet. I've been tested through a drive-through, but she hasn't been tested, so she sleeps in another room and I'm in another room. So hopefully they should get tested soon.
Okay. Well, listen, please take care. Working.
And you, my
please
friend,
take
everybody,
care.
And you, Hayley, and Amy, and all your listeners, stay safe.
And you too, Manny. Nice to hear from you. It's been a while. Talk Radio, Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, our number here, 0344-499-1000.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
You know, sometimes in these last days when it's been so quiet, I've looked out some old records that I used to listen to when I was like in my 20s or so. And this is one of those tunes, and it still speaks to me now like it did then. See what it does for you. I love this. It's Michael McDonald.
We make it day by day, watching the world go by.
Hales, are you aware of the work of Michael McDonald?
No, I thought this was a different Michael.
Michael McDonald. Very
who
good.
Sang that, Something Inside So Strong? That's who I thought it was.
That was Labby Siffrey.
Oh, then I was
something
completely
inside,
wrong.
No, Labby Siffre had a hit called It Must Be Love, and then years later, he had a song about that I think was about apartheid in South Africa called Something So Strong.
Oh, I love that song.
That I don't think they allowed to be played in South Africa at the time.
Really? Why?
A beautiful song. Because it was about what was going on there.
Because it's a really uplifting, lovely song, like...
It is a lovely song, but it was part. Yeah, it was. There was another song from that era too, called "Give Me Hope, Joanna." You know that one?
Oh yes, love that one.
That was about.
Oh, we should have had that. Oh, have you got that on your little disc player?
No. All right, I'm going to be
try harder
up to
tomorrow.
My ears in dust and CDs tomorrow night. It's all right though. I don't need any help at all. You know, I'm able to do these things all myself. Not that I get any thanks for it, but it's fine.
Oh, you do. Thank you very much. We love the music.
Sorry. We love the music very much.
Love
Thank
it.
You. Oh, my God.
Gavin on text says, Howard, have you heard of Richard D. Hall?
Yes, I have. He's a guy who does videos on YouTube.
Oh, right. Of what kind of thing?
Richard D. Hall did... I think he did, and Gavin can tell me, he did a series about, or he did a couple of video shows about things like Jill Dando, the murder.
Ah, right, okay.
So he's
like
kind
more documentaries,
more documentary on the investigative side of these things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
I do like a documentary.
I think he's got, what's it called, Rich Planet, it's called. You know, and somebody's got to do this stuff.
Oh, I love a documentary. Have you watched Tiger? Have you got Netflix?
No.
No. Oh, gosh.
I can't afford it. I have to cut my cloth according, really.
Well, if you had Netflix.
If I want to keep buying equipment on eBay.
That's true. So, see, that's the thing. You say you haven't got any cash, but then I'm imagining your flat is filled with stuff.
Well, excuse me. No.
Stuff.
It's all carefully targeted spend.
Yes.
And the little mixer that I'm using to speak now to you, I bought it a couple of years ago and it was on sale. Mm. And I thought, one of these days I might need that. And I just kept it in a box for 2 years. And look, lo and behold, now I wouldn't be able to do this.
You're sounding mighty fine. I have to say, it sounds like you're sitting right here. Like, seriously, it's pretty cool.
Well, no, you wouldn't believe the... I mean, it's sad. It is deeply, deeply sad, the amount of experiments that I've done. And I'm sitting there, let's try this one. Let's try that setting. And then at the end of it all, your head is just gone and you have to just go and take a break, have a cup of coffee and do your best. But look, I'm enjoying it. I love experimenting, you know?
Yeah.
She hasn't gone home, has she?
No, she's still here. She's just getting Dave on the phone.
But what do you think, though? I was going to talk about this, but we can talk about it again. I think that a lot of people are changing their entire way of thinking because of what's happened. Because maybe they've had an interruption in their income. Maybe they've thought to themselves, well, you know, life is a precious thing. And it's actually like John Lennon once saying, you know, life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting. I've done such a big think in this last couple of weeks about what the hell I'm doing with it all. And I think if we're honest, an awful lot of us have thought that way because we've had the time to do it. What do you say?
I think it's a good question. I think it's a bit like when you come back. I don't know if you're the same, but when I've had a holiday and time to just relax, not rush around, not have to commute, you come back from holiday feeling a bit refreshed and like you've got a new lease of life. And I would like to think a lot of us will have that silver lining through this period of just taking that step back. You know,
there's so much heartbreaking news around at the moment, but I think for some people the upside. If there is an upside of this terrible thing, maybe that's the wrong word.
Definitely.
Is that it gives you a chance to think about things and how you're living your life and where you're living and what you're doing.
Well,
I've done all of that.
I think it takes us back to necessities, doesn't it? You know, because, I mean, for instance, with me, right, just to use some examples, normally I get my nails done, you know, I might get my eyelashes done. I know, I'm being serious. So, Yes. So I'm just saying all these kind of maybe superficial things that. Well, once important and a regular occurrence and a weekly kind of routine for me, I'm starting to think, actually, mate, I'm not even missing that. And that's
Jeez,
like...
you're not going to grow a beard, are you?
Oh, no, definitely. Somebody asked that on Twitter before, actually. When you posted your picture of your beard, they said, is Hayley growing one too? No.
Well, I've got a story from the history of television. When it was a great travesty, Thames Television lost the London ITV franchise when there were different companies. Thames was a great company. based not very far from where I'm living. And they lost it to a company called Carlton, who were what they call a producer, a producer broadcaster. They broadcast other people's programs. They didn't make many of their own. They had a program called London Tonight. Mm. And the first edition of London Tonight, which followed on the Monday after Thames had closed on the Friday. And the first edition, I remember this vividly. I think the main story was women with beards.
Oh.
You know, that was a long time ago, but that, a story from the history of television. Just asking.
I did used to watch London Tonight. I think it was one of the things I used to watch when I got home from school.
There were some very good people. I think Alistair Stewart was
on
that.
Yes.
Now, there's a top guy. Years ago, I won an award, and Alistair Stewart, just the one, and Alistair Stewart presented it. I was almost speechless, because, you know, there he was on the stage, saying my name, and presenting an award to me. God. Those things don't happen anymore. I like my anonymity these days. You've gone very, very quiet again. I worry when you go quiet.
I was waiting for you to read your WhatsApp.
Okay, that's it.
Oh, right, okay, no, I've just... little bit of a hint there, dropping.
On-air production, it's a new thing.
That one dropped like a cruise ship's anchor. Let's get to Dave then, shall we? I've just had this idea we should go to Dave. How about that? Dave, in Sunderland, how are you?
Hi there, not too bad.
What's going on?
I've been a bit worried about the virus and that. And
for yourself?
Yeah, for my mum and that.
Yeah. And how are they doing?
She's 82.
How's your mum doing?
Not too bad. I've been keeping and just going out for shopping and a walk around the park and that.
And what's it? Well, you know, what are the shops like? Are the shops rammed, or are you picking your times to go shopping?
They're dead, really dead. I went in the town centre the other day and I've never seen anything like it. Really quiet.
It is a worry. It's weird, isn't it? It's every day is like Christmas now. You look at the shops.
It is.
You know, if you go out to do a bit of food shopping, all those shops that you know, they're all closed.
Yeah, they are, yeah. That's another thing I was going to tell you. I went to my sister's at Christmas, right? And I didn't get time to watch my Christmas movies, so I'm watching some of them at the moment. And I'm listening to some Christmas CDs, which I never got time to listen to.
So you're catching up on Christmas?
Yeah, I am.
God, doesn't Christmas feel like a million years ago now?
It does, yeah. It changes up listening from Christmas music last night.
So are you making plans now for what you're going to do when this is all over?
Hopefully, yes.
And what are you going to do?
I just can't wait to go in the shop and buy some more DVDs.
Right, are the ones that you're missing? You can always get them by mail order.
Yeah, no, I'm not too good at doing that.
You like to touch them and feel them. You like to see them, yeah?
Yeah.
And what are you looking for? What would you put? If you know, if I could hand you the DVD that you really want to see now, what would it be?
At the moment, I was going to buy a vinyl LP of Dolly Parton and that.
Well, like Dolly Parton's greatest hits.
Yeah, and a Kenny Rogers CD.
Okay, but Kenny Rogers died, didn't he, recently? How sad.
He did, yeah. He did.
I remember being in Gozo, which is like a little tiny island just off Malta. And there was a guy there trying to sing, you've got to, what have they got, the gambler? You got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him. But this guy, I think it lost something in translation because he didn't realize that the lines were different. So he just sang, you got to know when to hold him. You got to know when to hold him. You got to know when to He was very good on the keyboard, but he was lousy on the lyrics. Sorry, you didn't call to talk about that, did you?
I don't mind. I love my DVDs, so I do.
But are you keeping happy, though, through it all? As happy as you can be?
As happy as I can be, yeah. I've been a bit bored, like, to be honest.
Mm. Do you play video games, do stuff like that?
I haven't got any video games at the moment, but I've got hundreds of DVDs I'm watching.
But you know what people do? And I've done a little bit of this. I mean, I'm lucky. You know, what I do for a living is what I love anyway. But it's a time to learn new things. If there was anything that you wanted to learn, now is a great time to do it. Because you haven't got anybody saying, you're supposed to be doing this or going there. Or there's no one on your back. Just a thought. I mean, I'm sounding like your dad now, but, you know. Just a thought.
If my dad had been alive, he would have been shocked at all of this.
Well, I was only saying that to my sister in Worcestershire. I was saying, you know, Beryl, my mum, thank you. I'm glad in a way that mum and dad are not here to see this because, number one, I'd be so worried for them. And number two, I just don't think they'd know what to make of it. I think. Oh, well.
I don't know if you can remember a couple of programmes. What used to be on the telly in the 70s. My sister got us a couple for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
She got us Charlie's Angels.
Oh, yeah, we'll remember that. With Farrah Fawcett Majors. Who was it? And who was the Farrah Fawcett Majors? I can't remember the others. Kate somebody, wasn't it?
Kate Jackson, I think.
Kate Jackson, yeah. I liked Kate Jackson was the one I liked. And my dad liked her, I remember that. And what else in the 70s? The 70s?
And she called it The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, oh, God, they used to show that on Saturday mornings, I remember that.
You did,
On Tyne Tees, or Granada, where I was. God.
And then last year she got us a couple, which I haven't watched yet, a couple of Tarzan ones from the 70s.
There was some great... There was a series in the 70s that everybody laughs at me because it's so...
Oh, have we lost Howard? Just at the last moment. Can you believe it? We made it nearly 3 hours. So anyway, you carry on, Dave. What else have you got on from your sister?
A couple of Tarzan ones with somebody called Ron Eli.
Right.
And I've got Robinson Crusoe, which is in black and white. But I really love my DVDs.
Okay, cool. All right then, Dave. Well, I'm going to let you go.
Yes.
You keep you keep safe. Keep inside. Take all the advice you can. We're on again tomorrow. Give us another call if you want. Now, do we have Howard back? That is a question. No, we don't have Howard. Okay, I think I'm going to sign off then, which is pretty unique. It's been Howard Hughes and I've been Hayley Hayes. You're listening to Talk Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Daryl Morris is up next. I can't talk, apparently.
Talk Radio.